We're all so proud of you. I knew one day your dad would realize your true potential.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. I wanted to take this time to say that we're going to be under a lot of media scrutiny. So if there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets or stories or fibs, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me and your mom, we're not going to be mad.
I said the Lord's name in vain at school.
Well, I said I wasn't going to get angry, and I'm not angry.
Okay, good.
I went to the petting zoo, and I let the goat lick my penis.
Honey, you promised you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
Okay, hopefully that's it.
I had a beer with the old biker man at the end of the street, and he let me touch his old lady's titty.
Oh, rest.
I go to the mall and hide in a stairwell and take photos of women's skirts. I have a whole book of cooter shots under my bed. One time I put a firefly in my butthole.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
I shaved the dog and glued the hair to my nutsack so I look like a grown man.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on The Price is Right.
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
To Entertainment Landfill, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
If you're trying to make space on the DVR, why don't you just get rid of some of the stuff you've already watched? Like, Alphas.
No, that's the season 2 finale. That was quite the cliffhanger. I'm gonna rewatch it before season 3 starts.
There is no season 3. They canceled that show.
Well, they can't cancel it. It ended on a cliffhanger.
It did.
That show ended with all the residents of New York either dead or unconscious. Oh, now I'll never know what happened. No. I'm gonna get the number of the Sci-Fi Channel and give them what for.
Oh, please don't do that.
But no, they can't just cancel a show like Alphas. You know, they have to help the viewers let go. Yeah, Firefly did a movie to wrap things up. Buffy the Vampire Slayer continued on as a comic book. Heroes gradually lowered the quality season by season till we were grateful it ended.
I feel bad for whoever gets that phone call.
Don't. If they didn't want to be yelled at by crazy nerds, they shouldn't have started a Sci-Fi Channel.
Actually, really good garlic bread. Garlic bread is my favorite food. I could honestly eat it for every meal, or just eat it all the time without even stopping.
You get fat.
No, why would I get fat?
Bread makes you fat.
Bread makes you fat?
My name is Tony Stark, and I'm not afraid of you. I know you're a coward. So I decided that you just died, pal. I'm going to come get the body. There's no politics here. It's just good old-fashioned revenge. There's no Pentagon. It's just you and me. And on the off chance you're a man, here's my home address. 10880 Malibu Point, 90265. I'll leave the door unlocked.
Complicated.
If you want something bad, you have to fight for it. Step up your game, Scott. Break out the L word.
Lesbian?
The other L word.
Lesbians?
It's love, Scott. I wasn't trying to trick you.
Yeah! Woohoo! Fungus Dynamite! Hey, everyone!
It's time for Entertainment Landfill.
Yes, Entertainment Landfill, everyone! I'm trying to talk really loud so you don't hear my dog outside.
Hey, everyone, it's me, the TRS-80, and here is
Bill,
your handsome host, the
J-Strom. You messed it all up, Bill.
Sorry.
Hey, everyone, it's me, the TRS-80, and here is your handsome host, the J-Strom.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that what I messed up, TRS-80?
Hey everyone, I am the J-Strom. We're here to give you your weekly dose of film, television, and pop culture. I don't do the show alone, I also do it with PCZ Steven!
Yay!
Steven,
oh my god, he made it?
Yes, sir!
On time, early even.
And we also have here...
Not expecting that.
Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian! How's it going,
Uh-oh.
Bill? Greetings and salutations!
Why...
The Rare Saturday Show. Yes, we're here to talk things, and I'm excited. You know, it
I
was
love
actually
talking things.
It's good that we actually didn't do the show last night because you know originally you couldn't do the show, and
yeah,
I volunteered to for the school function at Emma's school. It was the mother and son magic show.
Mm.
And I needed to help, like, do stuff like serve food and stuff. And they wouldn't need me anymore at 8, so I'd come back here, like, right when they let me go, when they didn't need me anymore, and we'd start the show. That was my idea. Dude, by the time I got home...
So was it only mothers and sons?
Yes. And by the time I got home, I was so freaking tired that if we would have done a show, it would have been a disaster. The funny thing, though... is last night when I got home, I was like, I got to do all the clips now
because
I got to take Emma to a birthday party tomorrow. There's no way I could work on the show tomorrow. So I stayed up, I don't know, until 1 a.m. working on clips. I don't even remember what I did last night, so I don't even know what's going to happen.
You're a machine.
I don't even know what clips I used anymore. But
Yeah, I couldn't do the show yesterday because, I hadn't watched anything, and two, I had to take my dad to a doctor's appointment, and I usually... save Fridays to cram everything that I hadn't watched in, and I just there was no way I'd been able to do that and do the show.
Basically, I figure right now we're covering four shows. Basically, you know, Celebrity Apprentice, Hell's Kitchen, Defiance, and Hannibal. We kind of briefly mentioned sometimes.
Yeah, we were going to cover it last weekend, then we totally forgot.
But you know what? We did it though. This is the funny thing. We didn't talk about it during the TiVo segment, but right when the news starts, we start talking about Hannibal, and we spend like 15 minutes on it.
Oh, really? I didn't even realize that.
Isn't that funny?
And Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Well, you're a little late there. I think she needs to get her CPU fixed.
You know what? Last night when I volunteered for that thing, it was a lot of fun. Here's the funny thing. I thought this was hilarious. There was decorated, like, shapes, like silver, like, almost like silver paper of different shapes.
Silver paper.
It's kind of like lame or something like that. You know what that is?
Lamar.
Almost like foil board or something.
Foil board.
In star shapes, okay?
Okay. And
it was laying on the tablecloths. What do you think little boys will turn those stars into?
mirrors?
No. Throwing stars. All of a sudden, there was stars flying everywhere. And I was like, dude.
Here, I'm thinking along the lines of the kid in the intro using the taking cooter shots.
No, it was like ninja stars.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would have done that, too.
Yeah.
Ooh, ninja star to the head.
Okay, what do you mean by cooter shots? you mean like a mirror on on your shoes.
Yes.
Oh, I get Bill, come on. Where's your mind at, sir?
Sorry, my mind's in a dirty place.
Oh, my God.
I have a whole book of cooter shots under my bed.
That's messed up.
My dad worked in the corrugated industry for 35 years, and basically that's what everybody calls cardboard boxes, but it's corrugated. Those are the little waves.
Wait, they call them cooter boxes? Is that what you're saying?
No, stop it.
I thought that's what you were saying.
Corrugated.
Corrugated boxes.
Corrugated. And they would go, and they had, they would stamp out certain things for different types of boxes, and there was client, yes, that's the word I'm looking for, client, that they had to stamp out like circles and stars out of the boxes. Uh-huh. So there's just this massive pile of circles and stars at my dad's work one day, and I had my friend with me, and we just started throwing them like crazy. Like, we were covered in like paper cuts and everything because they were just perfect stars and discs. And I remember I was a ninja, and my friend was the guy from My Come in Peace.
Nice.
He would shoot the CDs.
Oh, man, that's sweet.
Yeah, and they also have these pallet trucks in there that, like, they're like forklifts, but you drive them with your own arms. And we would turn them around and put our feet on the lift parts and, like, use them as, like, scooters. Like self-propelled, like scooters. Like, we would drive them around the place. It was insane. We could have gotten so much trouble. OSHA would come in and go, "What are you doing?"
Can I ask you guys a question? You know, today I went to a bowling alley for a birthday party. I took my daughter, and the other when we saw Oblivion,
yes,
this is about bathroom etiquette. We're men in a bathroom. I don't know about you. I try to get in and get out as quick as possible, right?
Get in, get out. No eye contact. It's not a conversation. Pee and leave.
One thing, I know that men are disgusting, right?
Yes.
But
primarily, yes.
What is this? I know. Let me ask you if this has ever happened to you. Like, I'm in there peeing at the urinal. Sometimes I'm by myself and I'm just doing my business. And a guy comes in. He walks up and he goes,
"Oh no!"
And he goes, spits in the urinal and starts peeing. And I'm just like, "Jesus Christ, you're disgusting!" You know, it's like, no, God. Just... And I'm like, I gotta get out of here. This is gross. Or
I would have started gagging.
After Oblivion, Bill, I'm at the urinal.
I'm washing my hands.
Steven's already done doing his business, and I go over there, and I'm doing mine. A guy stands next to me. He's holding his iPhone up with his left hand. He's holding his dick with his right hand.
No!
And then he starts going...
Oh, no!
And then he's like... As he's peeing and looking at Twitter,
I would have told him to be careful not to shit his pants.
Well, I'm like, okay, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And I walk over to the sink to wash my hands, and I start laughing. I lose it, just like CGI Florence Henderson Bell. I'm just like, I'm trying to tell Steve and I just, I gotta get out of here. And
I've never seen Jason not wash his hands.
No, I did. I did really fast.
Well, I mean, your normal washing.
And I go out of the, and I just lose it. And I'm laughing. And I'm immediately crying. And I was like, what was that dude's problem? He's standing right next to me. But some guys are like, oh, I'm in the bathroom, safe zone.
Yeah, I don't get that. I'm not like that. I'm very public restroom is exactly that. It's public. So if you have to fart, you kind of, you know, you use the muffle technique where you don't quite
fart.
Yeah, exactly, Raymond.
Or you go into a stall.
You don't clench, but you don't, you know, there's just a certain technique where you loosen but kind of cup your ass, and it just kind of, you know, yeah, blows out that way. Boom. So you don't get the ripple.
Yeah, you mean like a silent but deadly, you're just kind of release.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. You release without a clench.
But this guy is like, I'm full of gas. I need to squeeze this out of here while I'm in here at the urinal. And he's just going,
See, that's just wrong.
And it's right next to me. I'm like, dude. Well,
if he's going to do that, at least go into a stall.
One time I'll put a firefly in my butthole.
It's isolated.
Why?
You know, the
you
damage
do
is contained.
So my farts glow.
Or, you know, we know the guy who goes into the stall and he's just like,
yes.
Like in the bathroom.
Who
he's like,
does number two work for?
But I think it's so gross, the guy who goes in there and he's like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a spitter. Like, I've seen grown men, or, you know, you grow up with dudes in school, they spit constantly. They're always...
And why? Like, what is wrong with that saliva? Can't swallow it?
Yeah, I never spit. I never need to spit, except when I brush my teeth.
When my allergies are really bad, and I'm draining...
Do you do it in front of people?
No.
If your allergies, you're draining, you blow your nose, and then you kind of do the clandestine spit. You use a cloth, you use toilet paper, you know, so you don't make it a scene. You don't go like, hey, everyone, look at me, I've got phlegm, you want to hear it, hawk, poo.
You know, one of the grossest things about hockey is a lot of times in hockey, they'll show guys on the bench, and they're talking about
they're
that player
spitting.
And their stats, and you see the guy, he's like, and he's spitting! Like, right there on screen. And you're like, gross.
It's only 3 feet in front of the bench on the ice.
Yeah.
Like,
is it because of blood, or is it chewing tobacco?
No, it's just...
I think it's just spit.
Clearing it out. But here's the thing. I'm thinking maybe a lot of dudes spit because they grew up watching baseball, and baseball players spit and chew tobacco. That must be...
Or at least if you have to spit, if you have to clear something, take a sip of water and then spit it. Because at least that's a little more tolerable.
They're constantly drinking, so are they getting, like, kind of like the cotton mouth effect, you know?
Maybe. I just don't think it's necessary. Needed to spit. I never need to go in a bathroom and go like really loud, like, oh man, I gotta clear myself out. Everybody stand back! And now I'm gonna get on my iPhone while urinating.
And then I'm gonna touch my phone before I wash my hands.
Yeah. You know, because if you're doing that, you know your phone's...
And then put it next to my face.
That's the thing. At the Alley Cats where we're at, there is they have, what do you call it, bowling without any lights on with the ultraviolet light.
Oh, yeah, the dark bowling thing.
I'd like to see that guy on his phone in the dark, and you see the spots all over his phone.
Nasty.
That's probably it. Hey, guys, let me change the subject to something less disgusting. It's been 2 weeks now, but if you go to etlandfill.com, you can see the new improved site. And you'll notice it's fancy looking. Way fancier than it did before, I hope.
Yeah, it's better.
Now, Bill, come on. I worked hard on that. Come on.
No, I meant it's much better. I mean, I like the concert thing, and I think it's very cool.
You know, if
I like
you look
lay out how it like puts the four most recent shows, or the five, you know.
Yeah.
There's the marquee show, and then the four shows after, and then I like it. It's
if you
very
notice
cool.
It says magazine, like, at the top. There's classic, flip card, magazine, mosaic, sidebar. If you click on snapshot, watch what it does. It's really cool. It makes it like they're all photographs.
You know what? I never noticed that. That's really cool.
But if you just scroll to the right and you find the links there, you'll see that a Stitcher Radio link.
A Hoocha Radio?
Stitcher. And that's an app you can get on your iPhone or Android phone where you can find our show, Entertainment Landfill, on Stitcher. Adam asked me if we would do this because he uses Stitcher, and I was like, sure, okay.
I've told you earlier, the only people I know of that use Stitcher are the people on Facebook that use it to listen to NPR shows. That's the only thing I've ever seen.
Apparently, you can find a lot of shows on there, but apparently they'll tell you, if you subscribe to our show on there, it'll tell you when it's available and you can listen to it off the app. You know?
Well, isn't that convenient?
Yes. I mean, I don't know about you, but on my phone, like, I can go to our website, like ET Landfill, and find our latest show and click on it, and it'll play on my phone like that. But maybe Stitcher is easier. I don't know. I guess that's cool. Maybe if you listen to a lot of podcasts, that's the best way to go, because you have all those shows every week that appear. But
also, and it looks like it's kind of like a, what do they call that? Like a podcatcher without the podcatching?
Yes.
Like it's more on, it's online based?
Yeah, it just tells you new episode available. And I don't know if you're downloading it to your phone or you're streaming it. I don't know.
I think it's a stream.
That's cool. I listened to it, and I think it sounds fine. I was worried they'd compress it because our shows are so long, but I didn't notice any audio difference. But also, I want to, if you click on Show Archive, you will see that all of the old shows are now available. Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 1 through present day, which
holy
is
272.
If you scroll down and you'll see one called NIM Movie Mini, all of our NIM Movie Minis are there. You see one called Specials, all the special shows that we've done, Bill, like the Oscar shows we've done, Bill.
Oh, no.
If you
is the TRX one on there?
The TRX, both the TRX Oscar shows we did.
Did we do two TRX Oscar shows?
Yes, we did. We did 2 years in a row. And Bill, our book club shows are all available. You click on book club, those three shows. And also the very final link, Chronicles of NIM, that's Swiley's page where he does feedback for our show.
He's a little behind.
He is. He hasn't done one for our last episode. He'll never catch
up. You know what? He spoils us. And then he, like, holds back and makes us, like, beg.
Yes.
Please.
Yes,
please, we need feedback.
I know. I live for it, and I love it. So hopefully it'll come back.
Hopefully.
Now, let's see. What else do we have? Okay, well, we've got some voicemail, guys. The first one is from Mike. Let's check out Mike's voicemail.
Mike. So I decided to go over to Biggie. The Biggie.
Is he mowing grass?
Mulberry. E.T. Landfill. I have never played for you before. I have no tongue for it. I'm also doing the gardening. Hey, this is Mike from Ireland. I'm not sure you can hear this. I just want to get Heavy. Yeah, just wanted to say, I really enjoyed last week's show. That was really, really good. Why did I say last week's show? I really enjoyed last week's show, and it was really cool. I don't know why I started that off with a Conan reference. I was wondering how far could I push Jason in terms of annoying background sound effects. So I decided to go for the Biggie. The Biggie. I would say that he'd probably think it's unbelievable. that I could have managed this. I'm incredibly tired, and I think I've gone a bit insane. So, I will leave it here, Tom. And if you do not answer, then the hell with you!
Well, thank you there, Mike.
I could smell the fresh-cut grass.
This is unbelievable.
Yes, it is. Now, our next voicemail is pretty special because it's from Hannah. Because Hannah got married today, Bill.
Yes.
Her and Mike Chinstroker.
She's now Hannah Chinstroker.
Hannah Chinstroker. She takes his name, Hannah Chinstroker. Her family was like, no, I hate his name. No, but I believe it's Michael James.
Yes.
So she's now Mrs. Michael James. Hannah James. Or...
Michael Hannah James.
Hannah Chinstroker James. But anyway, congratulations to them. They got married. And, okay, she's getting married.
That's like I put on Twitter. They're my favorite couple I've never met.
Me too. But here's the thing I want you guys to know. Okay, I leave a post on our Facebook fan club. Hey, guys, leave voicemail. Everyone's like, I like this. But you don't leave any voicemail. So everyone likes it. They don't. Hannah is getting married. It's like the most important day of her life.
Yeah, it's been like a huge 2 weeks for her.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's all that you're working up to that. It's a more important thing. She's like, hey, I'm going to call the Mulberry Boys and leave a voicemail. Oh, my God. If she can do it, why can't you? She's awesome. Let's check out her voicemail.
Hey guys, it's Hannah speaking from Birmingham. Just thought I'd send you some feedback since you've been very diligently recording these wonderful episodes for us all to listen to. Just finished listening to episode 272 and really enjoyed it. Jason, you had me crying with laughter when you lost it. It's always good to hear you guys really enjoy what you do. And the fact that you can make each other laugh is the best thing ever. I saw Oblivion a couple of weeks ago, really, really enjoyed it, definitely in the camp of it's a great film over its derivative. I gave it a solid 8 out of 10 and came away feeling extremely happy with it. Wanted to pass on as well that I've started watching Fringe. I'm into season 2 now.
Nice.
Based on you guys talking about it, and
it warms your ass.
Loving it. And just wondering if you guys have managed to have a look at Buffy yet, and if so, what you think of it. Be interested to hear. Have a great show. See ya.
That's a great thing.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Hannah, and congratulations to you again. I have not started binge watching Buffy yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. I really need to get around to it. This past like 2 months have been so incredibly stressful for me that I just
from the day you got back from Texas, it's been stressful. As
yes, from the very day I got back from Texas.
But yes, I plan on it, and I'm glad you're watching Fringe. I love that show, and I love the characters, and it's definitely a cool show.
I've actually gone back and watched the final season, and I feel a lot less negative about it. Like, I think I was just kind of in this mode of get on with it. I want more story. I want more, you know, and it was really kind of about, it was like a really good cup of tea that was just seeping for, you know, for 13 episodes. It was to be savored.
Like Netflix or DVD, when you can binge watch a show and not wait between episodes, it really makes it better. You can
just
absorb it all without spending time away from it, and it's way better.
Yeah, and I got around to watching the final episode again. I watched the entire season, and I was in tears. I lost it.
Very moved by the finale, and I love the show. It always have a special place in my heart. In fact, J.H. Wyman, who ran Fringe, his new show got picked up for next season. It stars Carl Urban, who I love. He's awesome. He played Dredd.
Judge Dredd, yeah.
He's in a show, it's tentatively titled, as they say, Almost Human. They're not sure they're going with the name, but it's about android cops paired with human cops. And I think he's human, but I'm not sure. I have no idea. But it's a J.J. Abrams produced show.
I wonder if that's the show that was getting kind of shit from the Penny Arcade people, because there was a Penny Arcade strip that they created, I think, called Automatica, where it was a similar similar premise.
I don't know. You know, J.J. Abrams actually sold another show. This dude sells shows every off-season, you know, when they do that. It's actually a show that Alfonso Cuarón created.
Oh!
J.J. Abrams is producing it. It's called Believe. And I have no idea what it's about. Kind of vaguely, something about a girl with powers or something. But I really don't know what it's about.
Oh, and it's Automata. That's the short series that Penny Arcade did. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, Josh Holloway sold his show, too. Or I don't think he created it, but he's the star of a show called Intelligence.
Oh, is sounds,
he can control or see the electromagnetic spectrum. He sounds just like Gary from Alphas.
Is Gary from Alphas going to be in it?
No, they need to cast him, though. But Sawyer plays some guy who... catches bad people on the internet or something.
And he's terribly handsome.
Yes. I'm excited about the show. I think he needs to be on TV. I miss Sawyer.
I do too. I was watching The Last Mission Impossible with my dad the other day. And I was like, hey, Sawyer.
And you're like, oh, there he goes.
There was Sawyer.
Yeah, there was Sawyer. That was cool
Hi,
to see
Sawyer.
Him. That was cool to see him for that 2 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, he needs to get more work. I wonder what's going on with that dude.
Who, Sawyer?
Yeah.
He's got a new show, I just told you.
I know, but like, what has been going on with him?
I don't know. He made some other movie, but I can't remember what it is. But
oh, no, that's
he's a little good. Picky.
Yeah. All right, Bill, maybe he'll be in the new Star Wars, J.J. Abrams Star Wars.
He should be Han Solo.
Hell yeah, or Han Solo's son.
Yeah, I don't maybe. Know. We'll see where they go with it.
Yeah, we have no idea where they're going.
Just as long as, Harrison Ford isn't Han Solo again. That just Harrison Ford has like lost his mojo. Like it's like I noticed in the Ender's Game.
Come on,
teaser.
You can't talk bad about Harrison.
He's just so. Ford. It's like I put on Twitter. He just looks constipated. Like it's just everything is so like. Forced out of him. This is.
What are you doing here, you son of a bitch?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. That's it.
Hey, that's his wheelhouse, man.
I guess so.
All right, Bill, we have one final voicemail. This one from Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. I listened to 272 the other day, and I've got to say that the part where Jason lost his shit. Cracked me up.
Yes, I did.
I couldn't help losing my shit as well. Like,
and not in a
just he had the uncontrollable giggles, which is like the most fun to have. And every little thing just sets you off again. And it's great fun. And I was at work listening and then cracking a smile and then starting to laugh along. And then someone came up, you know, beside me. And I had to, like, pretend I wasn't just laughing at nothing. And then you kept going. You kept going until it was awkward for everyone except you. And then you kept going even more. And then they got back in. It was just, you know, it was great. I love it. I love that laughter. And I really enjoyed the show. Oblivion, you asked about that. So I went and saw it. And my opinion on it, I've got a short version and a long version. The short version is I liked it. And the long version is, well, you let me know when I can spoil the crap out of it. And I will let you know why.
Probably in another year.
I didn't love it. All right.
We don't want to hear it,
show.
Oh, thank you, Rick. No, you cannot spoil Oblivion until it's on Blu-ray for at least a year. Right, Bill?
You know, I don't even think spoiling matters with Oblivion.
Yeah, it does.
Does it?
Yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't want anything. You're very liberal with the spoilers, Bill.
I am. I'm a liberal spoiler.
Bill is like, it won't spoil it, and then you spoil it for somebody because it doesn't matter, and they're like, what the hell just happened?
What's wrong with you? You spoiler.
So I say, no, don't spoil it for anybody. But by him saying that, I know the problems he has with it, you know?
Well, there's a split right down the middle of people. Some people can't let go of things, and I embraced what it tried to do.
So did I. I don't care if it's similar to a movie that came out in the past 5 years.
You know what?
So
let's
different.
Celebrate that. You know, because that's what it was doing.
Even if something is similar, that doesn't mean the whole thing is. You know
no.
what I mean? It's kind of like my dad. Every movie he sees, he goes, like The Matrix. And
oh,
I just
no.
like, how is it like The Matrix? What? Please explain yourself. How is it
it's
like The
Matrix? It's got Hugo Weaving, Jason.
It's got bullet time in it. Okay, you're right. It's like The Matrix. I give up. It's just like it. So that's what it'll be like.
Your brothers directed it.
Just like Oblivion. Yeah, brothers. The guys were related who directed it. And just like the guys who did The Matrix. And you're right. It's just like it. Larry Fishburne is in it. You're right. It's just like The Matrix. All right. Well, guys, the show's called Entertainment Landfills, so what do you say we check out entertainment? I got nothing. Entertainment. Thank you. Now, we all saw Iron Man 3. I saw Iron Man 3 twice. Bill, you saw it twice.
Twice.
Steven, you saw it?
4 times.
Whoa.
Four just times?
Kidding.
Nice.
Just the once.
Aw, man. Uh-huh. I thought that you were telling the truth, Steven. Boo.
Deceiver.
I tried to trick you.
The first time I saw it, the theater was packed. Absolutely. You know, we saw it at 7 p.m. that Friday with my dad. Steven, you couldn't make it. You were stuck in traffic.
Yep.
At theater, packed to the gills, like no seat, empty kind of thing. Loud, jovial, people laughing at everything. It was great. The next night I saw it with Steven and Heather at 10 p.m. Theater half full.
Not as loud and jovial, Bill.
And I was
you know what's funny is both times that I saw it, people didn't know when they were supposed to laugh. Like, they didn't. It was the strangest audiences.
Oh, man, it was so lively that first night, and it was awesome. And it reminded me of just how, you know, I don't really like big crowds, but a big movie crowd, it can be a lot of fun.
If you have the right crowd.
Yeah, if you do. Not of like a bunch of, like, kids running up the stairs, and they're like, oh, no. And then they sit next to you, and they're like, ah. Luckily,
my favorite type of crowd has kids that walk up the stairs backwards.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The XD theater is so freaking loud, you can't hear anybody, which is awesome.
Nice.
You can hear laughter and stuff, but you can't hear, like, little kid, mommy. A couple of times, I did hear, the last movie I saw with Emma, I can't remember what it was, but I heard this.
Was it the Croods?
They had babies in the theater, yeah. Like, yeah, let's bring babies, which is always my favorite.
Babies love movies.
Babies love movies. And I'll never forget, I think it was Copland that we, Heather and I, saw.
With babies?
Someone had a baby crying, and someone goes, get that baby out of here! And you see this lady hurriedly walk out.
This movie's inappropriate for that baby!
With her infant. And I was just like, dude, I mean, she shouldn't have a baby in here, but that was kind of rude, man.
That was rude.
So what did you guys think of Iron Man 3?
I loved it. I had a lot of fun.
I did, too. I thought it was a lot of fun. That Shane Black.
I thought it was the most Iron Man-ish of all the Iron Man movies. Like, it just had that certain Shane Black dick-swinging quality to it. Just kind of a swagger.
Dick swing.
Like, just, you know, very manly, a kind of a machismo, one-liners, just really. And he always inserts, like, a certain amount of heart into it. And when the kid showed up, I was like, okay, I love this.
Yeah, the kid was
really good.
Yeah.
The whole scenes.
I got a little dick. It's pathetic.
Excuse me? But
that wasn't in the movie.
But the humor in the movie I loved. It was a very funny movie.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I care. I don't know if I care anymore about people's negative opinions of things, because it just like Oblivion. I'm like, I really like this. What did other people think? People were like, oh, it's derivative. But so you enjoy a movie. Hey, I want to read what other people think of the movie. Mm-hmm. And what do they think? I've seen some people go, meh, not that great. Pretty boring. Pretty straightforward. Meh? And I'm like, I got none of that.
What do people want nowadays in a movie?
I don't know what people want.
I thought it was incredibly creative and fun and lively, and it didn't take itself too seriously.
Firstly, it made Robert Downey Jr. Front and center, where he carries the film, and he knows how to carry the film. And it had cool action set pieces. I love the whole falling out of the sky one, the people in the airplane.
That was a really good set piece. And so was the whole ending with the shipyard.
Yes, and how great is it Robert Downey Jr. and Don Cheadle are sneaking into the shipyard. It reminded me of Lethal Weapon.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say that exact thing.
The whole end. The
barrels and the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole showcase of the climax was all Shane Black, man.
Yeah, and it also, you know, it reminded me so much of, like, The Long Kiss Goodnight. That final scene on the bridge and all that.
Oh, yeah,
and,
totally.
I mean, it's just
spectacle.
It was pure Shane Black in spectacle.
And the way that the, like, Guy Pearce was a smart-ass kind of guy.
Yep,
and
yep.
I loved it all, and...
What I really liked about it was... It reminded me a lot of like the fighters, kind of a fighter video game where there was multiple levels of the fight.
Yeah,
like it was just like you'd go off one to another. And it was just the way that worked. It was so entertaining.
I love when Tony. Okay, one complaint I had nothing to do with the movie. It had to do with the movie trailer. They gave away a money shot from the movie in the trailer.
Yes, they do.
And that annoyed me because they don't show what's coming, but we know what it is because we saw it in the trailer. So
yeah, it needs to stop. The money shot spoiling needs to stop.
When they all fly up and I'm like, wow, I should really be wowed by this, but I've seen it already in the trailer.
Saw it already.
Yeah. It's really shitty that they do that. What did you think about the Ben Kingsley part?
Oh, my I was cracking up. I thought that was the most ingenious moment in a comic book film ever.
I loved it.
It turned this entire comic book mythos on its head.
Yeah.
And I just... That was another moment where I was just like, I love this movie. I freaking love this movie.
Also, Ben Kingsley was great in the role. He was hilarious.
Yeah, I was dying. Everything about it. It's like I don't want to get into it too much for people that haven't seen it yet, but I knew the moment I saw it, I was like, this is going to piss nerds off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is major pissing off going on here.
How could they do that to Mandarin? It's like, dude, the guy's named after an orange. Who
exactly? And I was never that big of a fan of the Iron Man comic books. I always kind of thought they were hokey.
Yeah, I had a couple of Iron Man stuff, and I thought his suit was cool. I didn't really follow it, really. He was in the Avengers comic. Here's another thing that bothered me, and this suit, you could say this about any comic book movie, okay? People are like, why doesn't he just call the Avengers to help? Well, why doesn't Batman call Superman to help in any of his
movies? Exactly, it's his fight.
It's his fight. It's his
He's doing his own thing somewhere
story.
Else.
Yeah. You bring the Avengers together when the Earth is threatened, not when...
Yeah, that conversation is in the movie with the kid.
Yeah, it is. And even, like, early on, Don Cheadle says, no, this is our fight. You know, he's like, tell me about this Mandarin guy. He goes, can't do it, Tony. They don't want any superheroes involved or anything. They're trying to handle it. The whole part is like, well, the president is in danger. Why wouldn't the Avengers help? Nobody knows he's in danger. It's a very short window of time. And I'm not even sure they would get involved if Earth isn't threatened.
Yeah.
Another thing is Thor, he's busy off in Asgard doing his thing. Captain America, he's off some mission somewhere.
He's in Asgard protecting his ass.
We don't know what's going on with those other people, Bill.
No, right? No idea. Who cares?
So it's silly. Like, every issue of Iron Man, the solo comic, I could go... Well, he really seems in trouble here. Why doesn't he just call Thor? Why doesn't he just... It's because it's his solo story.
Why is the Incredible Hulk there?
You know, why don't the other X-Men call Wolverine whenever they're in trouble? It's just like... You could say that about anything. It's really...
Yeah, you're
just
getting into
argument.
Nerd minutia.
Yeah, it's really just a silly argument, you know? And I think... Here's another thing. Do you think at any point when somebody, like, say Thor showed up, Tony, you need some help? He'd go, dude, I got this. Don't worry about it. Or something. He would want to handle it himself, no matter how dire the consequences were. Wouldn't you say that?
Especially in this situation. It was personal.
That's what I loved about...
I mean, from the very beginning of the movie, I loved how it started. Again, pure Shane Black being... the tongue-in-cheek, breaking the fourth wall kind of thing.
Yes.
And then saying, well, it all went back in, you know, and what did they go back to, like 1998 or something?
99.
And from the beginning, personal.
Yeah, and I like how basically Tony keeps dreaming about that event in New York City in the Avengers. Because really, you know, I've watched the Avengers a few times now. And each time I watch it, I admire the Tony Stark storyline more and more. Just how he saved everyone's ass at the end. And he's the guy without powers, right?
You know what's funny is that they mucked up Iron Man 2 so badly that the Avengers was the reboot for Tony Stark.
Yeah, totally.
Like, he went from the self-absorbed drunk in Iron Man 2 to the hero trying to get his shit together in the Avengers, and now the ultimate, like, he's now totally with it in Iron Man 3.
Right. And I love that whole sequence in the Avengers, you know, the nuclear bomb, you know, through the portal and stuff. And I love when the kid is asking about it. He's freaking out and having a panic attack.
He's asking about wormholes.
Yeah. And I love later on the kid is like going, what's the matter? Are you having a panic attack? And he's like, oh, I wasn't brought it up. I mean, it's just, it's pretty cool. And they show Tony without the suit a lot, how he has to be crafty. And I like that too.
I also loved the way he had to drag it around.
Yeah. That was cool. Dragging it through the snow and stuff.
And positioning it on the couch. The kid's screwing with it.
Yeah, he breaks the finger off. Another thing is, the first two movies, Iron Man movies, the scores were awful.
Yeah.
I thought the music in them sucked.
Yeah.
This movie, the score was awesome.
I thought it was fantastic. And I was shocked when I saw who did it.
Yeah, Brian Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the go-to make-fun-of guys for us, and it was really good.
No, that might be Tyler Bates. There's Brian Tyler.
Oh, is that Tyler Bates?
I get confused, too, all the time.
See, you know what?
Okay, Brian Tyler, is that the guy that Zack Snyder always uses, or is that Tyler Bates?
That's Tyler Bates.
Okay. That's who I usually... It's just... It's a score that's not memorable. This guy did a memorable score, and I love that whole end sequence, title sequence.
That was fantastic. When I saw that thrown up on Art of the Title, I was just like, yep, repost on Facebook.
Yeah, and that's what I had in the intro. I love that music. It's really like, it's got a kick to it, doesn't it?
It does have a kick.
It's awesome. And so I had a great time seeing Iron Man 3 twice, and I can't wait to own it on... Blu-ray. And as you said, you know, I saw it in 3D. It's totally post-conversion 3D. When are they going to start filming these in digital cameras, Bill?
Well, here's the problem. The 3D, when it comes to CGI moments, is fine. But it doesn't look right. Because the live action is filmed 2D and then gone to a stereo conversion, and it actually detracts from the CGI.
You can tell it's not as good as it can be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is. And that scene, that final scene in the shipyard would have looked so cool if done properly in 3D.
And
like,
you know,
the depth and the levels of the cranes and everything, I just...
And you may ask me, Jason, why did you see the post-converted 3D then? Because it's in the XD theater. I had no choice.
Well, I saw it first in 2D because I didn't want to do the 3D. And then I saw it again in 3D. And I was like, you know what? It's passable. But it is.
But let me ask you this. Is the 2D theater way smaller?
Yes. Always.
That's the thing. I just can't do it. You know?
I want... Like 2 weeks ago at the theater that I normally go to that's only 20 miles from my house as opposed to Columbus, which is 40 miles.
Right.
I went through the entire thing looking to see which theaters had the highest occupancy levels. Like, because you have like the 111, the 200, the 300, trying to see which screen has the largest or which, you know... has the largest screen. Which screen has the largest screen? Yeah.
Right.
So I'm just very anal. I always want to see my films on the largest screen possible.
Why does everything have to be so complicated?
I know.
But that's true. So do I. I want to see the biggest damn screen in the theater. You know?
Yes, I know. It's important.
Let me ask you this. You saw The Great Gatsby yesterday, right?
I did.
That was filmed in 3D, I believe.
Yeah, it was. It was filmed entirely 3D, and it was terrible.
The 3D was terrible?
The 3D was terrible. Baz Luhrmann had no idea what to do with it. absolutely no really freaking clue.
Since it's filmed in 3D, it should look good, right?
He didn't know what to do with the depth. He didn't know. He thought, let's throw a bunch of glitter in the air.
Okay, you mean like the technique of how he used it?
Yeah, the technique of how to use it. When you want to see good technique in 3D, you look at Hugo, you look at Prometheus, you know, actual master filmmakers knowing how to manipulate the depth and the look for a proper use. This was, the best way I could describe it is, somebody who's only ever directed soap operas given a 3D camera and then said, do whatever you want.
Now, this I want to bring this up. Star Trek comes out next Friday, and that was shot in 3D, I believe.
No, it's a convert. It's a convert, sorry.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Because the trailers look incredible.
I know they do. They really do. They did a good job on it.
You know what I've noticed? A few times, I've seen the lens flare floating, like in 3D.
Yeah.
And I almost like, did J.J. Abrams do that on purpose?
I think he did. That made me laugh.
Kind of like, hey, F you guys. You know, that's why I take it. But Star Trek looks so awesome. I can't wait to see it. And I got to say this. I complained the last show, like, oh man, all those people got to see Iron Man early than the U.S. They're going to spoil everything. I didn't read anybody spoil anything. Everyone was cool about it.
Yeah, same here. And plus, but I have kind of been avoiding Twitter.
Yeah, but no one has spoiled Star Trek either. So that's
Star Trek Into Darkness was shot, it says, extensively in IMAX before being converted into 3D. And when you're shooting with IMAX because of the larger, I don't know what you would call it. I'm not, like, well into that whole, the camera stuff. But I know the frame is larger.
Yeah.
So I think there's more depth naturally to it.
Let me ask you this.
I think it probably made it easier.
Do you think the trailers look gorgeous?
I think they look stunning.
So I'm excited about seeing it and see how.
I mean, there's still a certain flatness to it, like especially in the scenes where there's an attack, like that initial attack whenever they blow up like the boardroom. There's a kind of a flatness to it, but it still looks stunning. I'll see it in 3D.
That's a little too analytical there, Bill. That's one thing you can't do, though. When you see a movie, if you start reviewing the 3D, like, it's the battle's been lost because you're not paying attention to the movie.
See, that's the thing. I think it's hilarious how many people, like, complain about 3D being a gimmick. When it's done properly, I freaking love it. It brings me into a movie like I've never been before. And that's I think that world creation that just sucks me in. So I become like very, very critical and analytical on 3D for some reason.
No, I can understand that. But I'm going
to
say,
I'm looking forward to it.
I like Iron Man 3. There were some 3D shots that were really cool, but I could tell, like, you know, this isn't as good as it could be. You can tell it's post-converted. I want to see it filmed. Like I was talking, a good example is Amazing Spider-Man, shot in 3D, looked absolutely gorgeous. I didn't think the film was perfect by any means. Well, not a perfect film, Bill. But, in fact, it was far from perfect.
No, it was a rehash.
Yeah, it was a rehash, not any original ideas. But
rehashed rush job.
It looked gorgeous, though, in 3D. Yeah. Parts where Spider-Man's swinging on the webs, gorgeous. And I have no idea, the director switched to 35mm film for the next movie, I believe.
What?
I don't understand.
That's strange.
I promise you I read that somewhere. Hopefully.
That's disconcerting.
Yeah, it is. Like, you know what? That looked too good in the first movie. Let's make it look shitty. The movie could look
fine. The other
fine,
thing that
kind
of confused me was Man of Steel was shot in 2D.
Really? You
yeah,
mean
it
in
was.
35
it wasn't
millimeter?
Shot in 3D.
Was it shot digitally?
Yes.
Because I think you could take a digitally shot film and make it 3D, and it would be better than 35 millimeter film post-converted. Do you agree?
Yes.
That trailer is gorgeous, by the way. I know we talked about it before, but that trailer is gorgeous. I can't wait to see
it. Oh, I loved being able to see the full trailer.
I haven't seen it in the theater yet.
Yeah, I saw it before The Great Gatsby. The other trailer I saw before The Great Gatsby was Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity, which was shot in 3D.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
It gave me goosebumps.
I haven't even watched the trailer yet, Bill.
Dude, the chills, just the intensity of it, and I cannot wait to see.
Intensity.
And it doesn't give anything away. That's the thing. It gives away the premise of the film. It gives nothing else away.
Wow.
It's the perfect teaser.
Dave, that's intense.
Yes.
What about, have you watched World's End, Edgar Wright's new film?
Yes, cannot wait. In fact, we were talking about how, should I come down for Man of Steel? Should I come down for Pacific Rim? Or should, and now I'm like, well, the August will give me more time to collect up the money I need to, because I'm looking to see where I'm going to stay, and I'm thinking maybe one of those extended stays, because I want to stay longer than the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking staying 7 days.
Holy shit.
Like a week, like a Monday to Monday or something. So I would want to stay at an extended stay so that I could see more, do more. You wouldn't have to worry about me some days. I can go off on my own, sort of stuff. And I'm just trying to build up the money, and I think maybe August will be it.
What's the release date of The World's End?
I think it's sometime in mid to late August.
Steven, do you know what that is? Have you watched the trailer?
No, sir.
It's Edgar Wright's new film with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It looks awesome.
I haven't.
What I think is funny is that we knew nothing about it. Zero. We just knew it was a pub crawl movie. And then you see the teaser, and it gives away a huge point of the film that I think they were actually trying to keep under wraps.
Oh, yeah. You mean what it's really about?
Yeah. I don't think that I don't know who it was up to release that. But when I actually saw what it was about, I was like, holy crap, this is going to be awesome.
What I think is interesting is that Seth Rogen movie with James Franco looks very similar in a way, where it's end of the world kind of involving extraterrestrial kind of thing.
Oh, does it? I didn't know that.
Have you seen the trailer?
I've been avoiding that trailer. No,
Haven't you seen the trailer?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty funny, and I know it involves aliens. They reveal that, and so I know Edgar Wright's direction will beat anything that to those guys do, but I just think it's interesting the similarity there.
This isn't my world.
Oh, okay, but I'm excited.
Oh, now I'm reading that Gravity was actually filmed digitally and converted to 3D. I thought it was shot in native 3D.
Oh, that's good. I still think it could. You could pull it off.
The 3D looked awesome because there was so much CGI there. So
I think when it's post-converted film, that's when it gets really tricky.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see Iron Man 3. I bet it was filmed. Was it on 35mm film?
I'm not sure. I have to look back here. Okay, let me look. Filmed in 2D, shot on. Yeah, it was shot digitally.
Iron Man 3 was?
Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, wow. Well, my whole theory goes out the window there. Well, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVo. Ah, yes. What's on our TiVos? We don't have many shows to talk about. We're going to talk about a show and then take a break. Is that cool with you, Bill?
Yeah, it's fine. Yes.
Excellent. Well, let's quickly talk about Celebrity Apprentice, because last week when we didn't do a show, Gary Busey was fired.
Oh, yeah. Aww, terrible.
Man. Aww. Well, let's check out this recap to see what we missed real quick.
Last time on All-Star Celebrity Apprentice, the teams were tasked with making a demonstrational video for LG.
Go out, do your job. Good luck.
On Plan B, project manager Gary Busey was out of control.
Why shouldn't you move out of set?
Don't push him.
I didn't.
You did.
I'm sorry, you don't touch another person's body.
And on Team Power, Mary Lou Henner got under Trace Adkins' skin.
Oh my God, can we blow out my face a little? It looks so bad. Look how bad I look.
They're not going to see it.
The thing with Mary Lou, she comes pre-wound.
On the day of the presentation, Plan B was in trouble.
What will LG think of next?
A mechanical dog.
That's
best.
And Team Power came through.
With my LG Intuition smartphone. Oh, you guys look so cute.
Giving them a much-needed win.
No contest. Little John, congratulations. Trace, Mary Lou, congratulations. Have a good time.
Thank you.
Go.
Left in the boardroom, Gary went on the attack.
I was stopped in the front by Lisa with her yelling at me in front of everybody.
I don't yell.
You did yell I heard you yell, and it was like this.
But his time was up.
Gary, you're the project man.
Yeah.
You didn't highlight many of the products. Gary, you're fired.
Yeah, I liked how Gary was like, hey, I'm going to work this robotic dog into this. And they're like, what? You know, a mechanical dog. And they're like, no, we have no idea what you're talking about. And it's funny, he did push the guy, and he was shushing them a lot. But when they tell him, hey, you're being really rude, he goes, no, I'm not. And she's like, oh, okay. You know,
incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, he was... He's crazy. He's freaking crazy.
He is insane.
Well, you know, I have a large phone, but that LG phone looked freaking insanely huge.
That LG thing is a tablet.
Yeah, it's... What the hell?
It's not even a phablet. It's a tablet.
It is? It's not a phone?
Well, no, I'm saying it might as well be a tablet.
Oh, it might as well be one, yeah.
Who the hell buys LG phones?
I know no one.
I know no one either.
Yeah, I know absolutely no one that has that. But I'm sad to see Gary go. But this week they had to decorate a suite at an arena.
Another insanely uncomfortable episode.
Something about the suites all are a certain kind. There's the King suite.
The King suite, yeah.
The Joker suite.
Yeah.
I do say Mary Lou's ideas were horrible, weren't they?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have
it just I had no idea. Like, how can anybody be that clueless?
She put a professional chess player in her
Yes, and had a chess table for them.
You could play chess.
I'm going to go to a suite to learn how to play chess.
Yeah, she was like, it's very like a king.
Well, there's a king and queen.
Chess. Yeah,
on the chessboard. So,
and remember, she's shopping for mirrors, and Trace like, "What do you need a mirror for?" She's like, "You know, because a king would look in the mirror." It's like, you're being too literal. Just chill, you know. And I know your favorite guy, that John. What's that cowboy's name? John
Rich.
Yeah, John Rich shows up. He's like, "Little John's a king of crunk. Why didn't you use him as a king?"
Yeah. He's Don't you know crunk. This man is the king of crunk? You just see on the look on Mary Lou's face, like, what the fuck is crunk?
I just like when Trace, you can tell he's not interested and he's totally losing his mind.
Yeah, he wants out of there bad.
Let's check this out.
Well, I can definitely get a massage therapist.
No.
Complain all you want, Trace. I don't care. But I really want you guys to focus on the entertainment.
I got to connect with the Brooklyn Nets. So if I can try to get some of the players to show up.
I think we have to tie it in with our entertainment.
No, I'm trying to help out Mary Lou as much as I can. I just feel like my hands are tied. You should think I might be someone you kind of use more into planning the party. I think I'm one of the best party motherfuckers on the planet. Do I need to say that in my Rick James voice?
I'd love to have anything that reminds you of royalty, anything that a king would love to be watching, whether it is a mandolin player. You know, maybe we can find a mime. I'm trying to get that as well.
Oh, my God.
And anything else that you guys can think of that
would be stuck in the Middle Ages. King.
Look, I haven't stopped since I've sat down here. Okay?
I know.
Okay.
I know that. But I see how you operate now.
Oh, man, the mime would have been
Who?
You.
What?
That would have been genius.
You get real curmudgeon-y until you know exactly what you want to do, and then you get, like, very enthusiastic and helpful.
That's what I'm known for. Being very high energy.
Wow.
You operate at a notch above death.
Wow.
It's not true.
I
just want the support from you that I've always given you.
I'm a curmudgeon that operates one step above death.
One notch above death.
I'm sorry.
I adore Trace, okay? I love him so much, and I've always had his back for every task. But I've got to say, he has turned into such a curmudgeon the last couple of tasks. He hasn't been curmudgeon. Himself, so I don't know what's happened to Trace. But I'm kind of disappointed. He's not contributing enough.
Not a possible Dolly Parton. You ever heard of her?
Yeah. Yeah, I know about her very well.
Hers was real, jeez. Too, right?
Swear, man.
Damn.
Is D as big as it goes? I know what they are.
I love how she's just eyeing them the whole time as they're talking about this.
Little John and I started acting silly. The more frustrated she got with it, the funnier it was. I'll probably have to sleep with her, but I'll take one for the team. Just saying, I'm that kind of player.
Okay. The boys who are staying after school today, please keep your mind on your work.
I was glad to see her lighten up for just a second, but then she snapped right back to being the mayor of Stress Town. That's just her. Hey, man, we've got the party planner from hell.
If we don't pull this off tomorrow, Trey should be fired, because I feel like I've given 100% to this task, and I don't feel that he has at all.
Calm down.
I think I'm being very calm. You've got to have something in here that makes it look like royalty.
You should have beautiful maidens waiting on you.
No, mine.
I love beautiful maidens. I love beautiful maidens. I just want to throw that out there.
You've turned into Gary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm going home. I'm not playing with y'all anymore.
You know, one thing I noticed that Penn and Lisa Rinna are like a way better team just because it's
two people.
Oh,
my gosh, yeah. Because they're on the same wavelength.
One thing I noticed, I know it's a Teller shtick that he never talks on camera. Yep. You never see him talk. But did you notice they had him talking on the phone? Like you could hear him on the phone. But
I've seen him talk before. He has done a handful of times where he's broken that and talked.
You've seen him on camera talking?
Yes.
Yes.
I have too.
You have?
Absolutely, yeah.
Where?
It was a magic show I was watching.
Yep.
He wasn't silhouetted, but he wasn't fully lit. You could see him, you know, he was just kind of shadowed.
So
I've seen interviews where he's done shows.
He's fully lit and you can just see him sitting there talking.
Yeah, like a team. These guys do this fundraising thing every year. It's that Desert Bus game that they made a Sega CD game that never got released. And these guys play this Desert Bus,
you telling me this.
Yeah, and Teller found out about it
He doesn't talk on camera in that, though.
Yes, he does.
I've seen it. He's on the phone.
No, he actually goes to their house.
No, but you never see him talking. You hear him talking. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I've seen the one where the camera is on him and he's talking.
I want to see that because I haven't seen
it. I'll tell you.
No, years ago you brought this up and I watched the video and it's him on the phone. They're talking on the phone to him.
No, and he also, I've watched like things on YouTube where he's given lectures about like the psychological use of magic.
Okay.
Like,
I want to see that, guys. I think you guys are hallucinating.
I told you he wasn't fully lit. He kind of was in shadow.
Well, here's what I was going to bring up.
But it wasn't completely black in silhouette where you couldn't see him.
I know it's the part of showmanship. When does he go, you know what, screw this, I'm going to talk on camera. And Penn's like, no, I'm the guy who talks. You don't talk. Because they did shows like Penn and Teller Bullshit where they're on TV every week and he never says a word, which is funny. I guess it's a funny shtick, you know. It's been done before, but I guess once you start, you can't stop, can you?
No.
Is what I'm saying.
No.
It's just part of your routine, and that's just how it goes.
If they ever break up, then he's got to find another talking.
I
got to
take an acting gig, but I got to talk. But I thought it was funny in the scene he's on the phone, and you can hear him talking. I'm like, he obviously can talk, but it's a shtick, right? It's like, it's like the Marx Brothers or... whatever.
Yes.
Whoever else doesn't talk. Who else? Silent Bob. But he always talks in the movies.
Yeah, he talks.
So that doesn't count. But, yeah.
Now we're going to have to look up silent sidekicks.
Silent sidekicks. Foggy, he never talks on the show.
No, he doesn't.
Nope. Same shtick, I guess.
He uses his drops to talk.
That's just because he's really, really shy.
No, it's because I cut his tongue out.
Oh, my God.
Did I just say that out loud?
Yeah, you did. Oh, my God.
You operate at a notch above death.
Jeez. Yeah, that wasn't a compliment there. So what do you guys say? We take a break and we'll be right back. Let's do it, gang.
Let's do it. Let's
All right. It. See you soon.
Have a good time.
Thank you.
Go.
Kenner presents you, alien action figure.
Hey, let's go. Quick, shut the airlock. The alien's locked out now.
He got close.
Give up. Aliens can't be beat.
We'll tap him with the light.
Stop, he'll destroy the spaceship.
We've lost.
Better find another ship.
Let's try the kitchen.
Another triumph for aliens.
Alien action figure, new from Kenner.
We've all been staying up nights, playing with this mighty men and monster maker kit. With this kit, your children can combine different chests, legs, and heads. They can color in scales, hair, or alligator skin.
Very nice.
They can make hundreds of monsters and heroes. Personally, I prefer the monsters.
Hey, have you got the biggest news in Prime? Wesson's bottle is lighter than ever. Pass it on. Wesson does feel lighter. This new plastic bottle's easier to handle. It's got a built-in no-dip top. And no more mess.
Wesson's new light plastic bottle is shatterproof, too.
What's best about Wesson is the way it fries, light, crispy, and juicy. Pick up Wesson in the new plastic bottle. It's lighter than ever. And pass it on.
Years ago, Dannon discovered Russians who lived long lives ate a lot of yogurt. They didn't tell you how they lived. So we gave them La Yogurt, the great-tasting yogurt from America. Now they not only can live longer, they can live better. Life is too short to miss out on La Yogurt.
What do you call a kid who can flip like that? You call that kid a cracker jack. What do you call a kid who can kick like that? You call that kid a cracker jack.
When you're really good, they call you Cracker Jack.
Dad, are you coming back with those cookies?
My new chewy Chips Ahoy? Never! Adults love this chewy kind of Chips Ahoy. Mmm, so many real chocolate chips, you can see them inside and out.
Mom, that's a chewy Chips Ahoy!
Harold, you better save some for me!
New chewy Chips Ahoy.
Nice going, Mom!
Loaded with chocolate chips.
Lot of chips, but not for adults only.
From days of long ago comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe.
We're being separate!
Can form Voltron. Attack teams also sold separately from Matchbox.
Here come the twins.
And here come the labs.
Maybe I should have just left one of you at the hospital.
What does that mean? Well, I don't know.
They're two of a kind.
One of us definitely adopted.
Double Trouble. Today at 5:30.
Gee, Ronald, my new car turns into a robot.
Great, let's see. Wow, Grimace, did you know I can turn into a McDonald's?
Let me see.
Okay, I'm turning into a McDonald's.
Me too.
These books are totally awesome. McDonald's has Berenstain Bears stories, Punch-Outs, even Bears to Color. You get one activity book or storybook with each Happy Meal you buy. 8 new Berenstain Bears books at McDonald's.
A little something happens when I grab that stick. I become a pop star, it's a wound. I'm a pop, 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 pop,
was always swiping my Eggo waffles. So I invented the Eggo Keeper. I modified this toaster to create a specific trajectory to propel my Eggo directly onto my plate. Consequently, I never have to Lego my Eggo.
Eggo waffles from Kellogg's taste too good to let go. Part of this complete breakfast.
My invention is an Eggo protector. My dad was always taking my Eggos.
These are new Arida lights. They're only 100 calories a serving, and that's really light. But don't worry, just because they're light on calories, that doesn't mean they're light on taste. In fact, at just 100 calories a serving, these golden Arida lights are just bursting with the kind of hearty potato flavor your family loves. So, to give your meals a lift, get delicious new Arida lights.
Oh. New Arida lights.
Lunchtime!
Lunch! Aliens!
We're cosmic kids!
New from Chef Boyardee.
Little aliens and robots. And flying saucers.
Enriched pasta shaped like us.
Good food for active earthlings.
Hey, great! Chicken!
Taste out of this world!
There is intelligent life on Earth.
Cosmic kids. In tomato sauce with meatballs and now chicken flavor.
Good food for active earthlings.
Did you see the latest Nintendo newsletter?
Whoa, nice graphics. I'd like to get my hands on that game.
You mean you haven't played it yet? We can play it on my Nintendo Entertainment System. It's The Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. Those creatures from Ganon are pretty bad. Octoroks, Tektites, Libras, too. But with your help, our hero pulls through. Yeah, go Link. Yeah, get Zelda.
Awesome.
Intense.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. Your parents help you hook it up.
Oh, not again.
What you writing, Dad?
Mistakes.
You need a pen that erases.
Pens don't erase, dear.
Eraser made erases.
Erases? I don't believe it.
This is the ballpoint pen that does the unbelievable. Erases. The Eraser Mate pen has a special patented ink that gives you time to erase mistakes this easily and eventually becomes permanent.
Eraser Mate, you're unbelievable.
Eraser Mate, the erasable pen from Paper Mate.
Dog ate it.
It's
my brother's holding it for ransom.
Aliens ransacked my room.
My printer's down.
You won't need excuses for losing your schoolwork with the Trapper Keeper, because Trapper's special folders and pockets keep an amazing amount of work organized, secure, and right where you want it.
It's on the spaceship, the Pluto,
the one and only Trapper, only from Mead.
Breeders talk about what they feed their dogs.
My dogs are champions. They love to eat. And when they eat, they love to eat.
Kibbles are best! Kibbles are best! We're gonna get us some kibbles and bits! We're gonna get us some kibbles and bits!
Kibbles and Bits beats pedigree with a taste that's preferred 3-to-1. And it's 100% complete nutrition.
Boys!
From now on, we're gonna get us some kibbles and bits!
Great taste, complete nutrition. It's gotta be Bits.
Heal.
Cool days always remind me of my mother's cinnamon bread. Maybe that's why I like the creamy cinnamon taste of Cafe Vienna so much. Or maybe I like it just because I like it. General Foods International Coffees.
Crispy Critters, it's the low-sugar cereal for kids.
If it's low in sugar, how come it has those cute animals?
That's child psychology, but moms love it for the low sugar.
So Crispy Critters is good for our kids.
Do better, please.
Tonight, Al and Peg take sides.
Oh, look, Al, they're gonna fight.
In a war of the sexes. Can Al help Steve survive Marcy's love strike?
Think of Marcy. Oh.
and take a look at my mother-in-law! Married with Children, tonight.
Operate at a notch above death.
Hey. All right, everyone, we're back. Bill, are you back?
I am back.
I hope you had a hell of a piss, Arnold.
Who's Arnold? All right, Bill, I'm glad you're back. Steven, you're back too,
yes,
I can see. And you know what's funny is Heather came over while we were doing the show. And then she dropped some stuff off because she was shopping, Bill. Then she left, and I assumed Emma was with her. And at one point, I turned around, and Emma was waving hi to us. I went, what? What are you doing here? So Emma's here, and she'll appear from time to time. I heard something in the background, Bill, like you opened like a bottle of something.
No, I was actually closing something. Sorry, I thought I had my mic muted.
Bring us some new wine. No more of this old stuff.
This like, year.
Yeah, this year.
I was closing a a container. Like, it's not Tupperware, but it's glass, and it has like these little latches on the side, and it's very loud and obnoxious. I apologize.
I thought you were opening some old vintage wine.
No, I wasn't, sadly.
Okay, well, let's talk about Hell's Kitchen, Bill, because what a wonderful cast of people. Any one of them could be the winner of Hell's Kitchen.
I don't think there's ever been a season of Hell's Kitchen where I've hated everyone.
they are pretty lousy.
There's two people that I notice are way under the radar every single week, and they will be the final two. One's a man, one's a girl. And the girl is Janelle. She's the quiet black girl who never gets in any trouble at all.
And wait, there's a quiet black girl on this show?
Yes, believe it or not. Not Nedra.
Not Nedra?
And the
Nedra is the woman, the Eddie Murphy lady from Norbit.
She really is.
I am scared.
Well, the other one is the guy with glasses who has kind of the cone hair. He's kind of like out of everybody's business. He's the one who's like, I've never made this before. And he ends up like doing really good every week.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think he's going to be a finalist. The rest of them are all shit. You know? They're all insane. Like, we know the guy who shaved his mohawk so he could get better. You know what's funny is after that week's episode of our show, we talked about how bad his hair was and his sideburns. And how awful it was. Then he shaved it on the next episode. And we took
Oh, really?
On that episode of Defiance, I was like, how cool would it be if those blades got longer? And we remember that, Bill? We were like, yeah. That'd be cool. That episode, the next one, he extends it where it's like a sword. And I was like,
yeah,
dude, what the hell?
He throws it out and it gets longer but thinner.
It's like our show, we have powers where things happen after we talk about them.
Yeah, we do.
Remember that used to happen in the frame shop when we worked together?
we'd talk about ideas and then we'd see it in something. And we'd be like, what the hell? I'm telling you, Hollywood big shots listen to our show, guys. I don't know how...
Even episodes that have been in production for months.
Yeah, yet. Even though it's like a week later and they would have already filmed a year ago in Vancouver. Still, we affected it. We have powers, I'm telling you. My power! What is it the Emperor says? Unlimited power!
Yes, that's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah, that's such a great part. Such a good actor.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Darth Vader. why am I going into that? Okay, let's check out Hell's Kitchen, where this week they're doing a quinceañera. And immediately the guy's like, quinceañera?
Encinita?
The girl with the nose ring.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. Let's just check this out and see what happens. Oh, yeah, I remember she goes, they're like, she's doing a quinceañera. And it's a rite of passage for 15-year-old girls. Let's see what she wants to eat. And she's like, I don't like spicy stuff. Real spicy. I just won't eat it. And so the guy, Barrett, I think is his name, who shaved his mohawk, he goes, they're Mexican. They love salsa. And he starts dumping hot sauce in all the food.
They're Mexican. They love salsa.
Let's check this out.
Leave me alone, guys. Get out.
As the number of chefs continues to dwindle, the remaining chefs are reinvigorated.
Unbreakable, homie.
And prepared to show Chef Ramsay they are ready for anything.
I like that energy. Wow. Good morning.
Morning.
Last night after service, James, Andy, and I were talking about when we really started to develop our love for cooking. But it's interesting that it was when we were all teenagers. And when I was a teen, I had two loves. A love of cooking.
And a love of loose women.
And a love of soccer.
I wonder, looking at this picture, that this cute little kid from Scotland was going to turn out to be such a hard ass in the kitchen.
Why are you guys all laughing? Brace yourselves. Oh! Ray, seriously.
Like a mobster or something. Old school Ray. He could just pop his collar on you. Hey, baby, how's you doing?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Okay, there is one more picture I'd like to show you all. This one's a very important one. This is Brianna. Now, this pic wasn't taken 10 years ago. This is her today. She is turning 15, and tomorrow night we'll be hosting our first ever quinceañera.
I was waiting for one of the guys to be inappropriate. This girl, Brianna, and they're going to go, woo, she's 15 years old. You know, oh, sorry.
I thought they were going to serve her weight.
What's it called? Quintanita? Quintanilla?
Quinceañera is a Latin American tradition commemorating when a young lady becomes a woman.
Cicada.
Now, are you ready to meet our guest of honor?
Yes, sir.
So, chefs, listen carefully, because for your next challenge, you'll be creating a tasting menu for this quinceañera. Tell me what you're looking for in the food.
Well, I love chicken. I like it creamy, lemony.
Mm-hmm.
I also like fun appetizers.
Nice. Jennifer?
Something that's spicy, but not too spicy. If it's too spicy, Brianna just won't eat it.
Right.
Really? A young Latina that doesn't like spicy food? Where did she grow up?
Please raise your hand if you've got any more questions.
It wasn't Mexico.
Question after question, I don't need more. What does Rihanna, her mom, and her godmom know about food anyway? Let the chefs do the cooking.
Chefs, are you ready?
Yes,
chef.
45 minutes, starting from now. Off you go.
I think it's funny, all these chef
people, like even on Top Chef, they think they know more about food than the person eating it. People who eat the food know a lot about food. They know what they like because I put it in their mouth. They don't understand that. Some chefs are like, you should like this. It's really good stuff. And it's like, well, I don't.
I was looking for you.
Sorry, that was just a rant.
Yeah, I figure Spanish people, hot sauce.
Well, listen to all the cicadas.
They work out pretty well, right? Ooh, I like it. Got to it.
Barrett hosts a topper with his fried macaroni and cheese balls.
It's castanet season, guys. They come out every 60 years.
You okay?
The sauce is a little spicy. Tastes more like hot sauce.
Oh, my God.
Spicy hot sauce. I mean, guys, did you even listen to what Brianna wanted?
If it's too spicy, Brianna just won't eat it.
Red or blue, please?
Good job, red team.
I have to agree with Zed. The red team.
Red, wow. Red wins. Really good job indeed.
I would have put, like, the food in a pinata. They have to bash it open. There's, like, enchiladas inside of it, you know?
Hey, you're Mexican. Get your food this way. Here's a tamale.
They just come dripping out like, oh, this is disgusting.
I'm sorry, but that pinata's bleeding enchilada sauce.
You know what? I loved when they had to get all the apps out before the waltz. The bloody waltz is starting, and they're all dancing, and he's like trying to get them finished. And there was another moment where Gordon says the word potatoes many times. And I was like, huh? This is one of those moments. Is this a butter sauce moment, Bill? Or a palm fondant moment?
Potatoes.
Oh, and the black guy, Zach, he makes
that that black guy.
Gordon goes, what are you doing? I told you more potatoes. And what does the dude say to Gordon Ramsay? He goes, okay, calm down.
Oh, no.
Do you think that was the right thing to say to Gordon?
No.
Let's check this out. And I love any time John Philippe gets on the show too. I love where he's like, "Please, you're hurting me. You got to get this out before the waltz." You know, it's like
he's
got to
get it out before the wars.
The waltz. The waltz.
No, the warts.
The waltz. The last waltz.
Take a load off.
Hell's Kitchen is hosting its first ever quinceañera.
We need to start the waltz here tonight.
Everybody else is finished.
Unfortunately, Amanda's inability to sear tuna.
I need a minute.
And to get along with Nedra.
Let's go. Here.
Oh, my God.
Has left some diners hungry and Brianna waiting to perform her waltz.
She bumped into me, Chef.
Hey, who's serious?
She took over searing. I'm going to take it over.
Who is in charge?
I'm in charge, Chef.
Tell her then.
I'm in charge.
All right,
who
get your tuna.
Serious?
And I want my tuna over here. If you don't want my help, I ain't going to give it to you. Figure it out on your own.
What the is going on there?
I don't know, Chef.
Look at them. This is extraordinary.
Oh, my God. There's an invasion attack.
Chef, I can't hold them anymore. They just need to start dancing, Chef.
Oh,
look. This cannot be real.
It's coming right now.
Señoras y señores, the court will now perform the waltz.
The waltz.
I like their post-production.
They've started the waltz. I've never seen individuals screw the easiest appetizers in the world.
I'm more embarrassed than you are, trust me.
Oh, please.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Off. Hey. Off.
Do I need to drop another ravioli?
Hey, I want more potatoes. Look what I'm
How
got.
How keep ignoring all those explosions
yes,
outside?
Get some more potatoes on. We got to go.
Yes, sir.
More potatoes, please.
Okay.
Potatoes.
Yes, chef.
Who's that?
Yes, chef.
But in the blue kitchen,
here you go.
Chef Ramsey.
But two ribeyes. There's enough potatoes for one there.
Yep.
Has a complaint that is sounding a little familiar.
I've got two ribeyes, Zach, and I've got one portion.
Yes, chef.
I told you, get lots of potatoes on.
I gave some already. Calm down.
Hey, yes, hey, smart ass, come here, you.
Yes,
why does it take you four times to understand?
It doesn't, chef.
Look at me.
It doesn't, chef.
So when you get told to do it, why don't you do it then?
I've made a mistake, chef. It won't happen again. You see how money.
Chef,
you don't got to bark. Chill.
That shit look good.
You always, relax, dude.
This guy a big fan.
You're just killing us for nothing.
No, I'm not killing us, chef.
Get the potatoes on then.
Yes, chef. Not a problem,
chef. Look at me. There's the potatoes, okay? Three times. Get the potatoes on. Oh, chef, I'm going to work hard tonight. You, Zach.
Yes, chef.
Next time, you're history.
Yes, chef.
Chef hates everybody.
Chef hates me, don't he? Nah, he hates everybody. Wow. That guy sucks. They all suck.
Yeah.
You know what I miss? That one season where it had the big fat guy who did like karate and stuff. He go,
oh yeah, what was that guy's name?
He always do awesome. Like chop socky sound effects. They go, I miss that guy.
It's just there's no real characters this season.
Yeah,
they're all just assholes. The biggest character there is Nedra, and I just want her to shut up.
Well, remember Dan? They got rid of him, and he was always talking about living in Asia.
Asia.
But how many times did Gordon say potatoes there? Let's check it out. How many times was potatoes said, Steven?
12.
Hey, I want more potatoes. Get some more potatoes on. We gotta go.
Yes, sir.
More potatoes, please.
Potatoes.
There's enough potatoes for one there.
I told you, get lots of potatoes on. Potatoes on then.
Yes, chef. Not a problem.
Look at me. There's the potatoes, okay? Three times. Get the potatoes on. Use that.
Okay, Steven, now count. Pomme fondant.
Pomme fondant.
Pomme fondant, like...
Pomme fondant, pomme fondant.
Pomme fondant.
Fondant, and pomme fondant.
Pomme fondant.
Pomme fondant.
I don't ever want to hear the term pomme fondant again. I don't even know what it is.
And pomme fondant.
Where's the pomme fondant? I thought pomme fondant was cooked in butter, nicely done. A pomme fondant.
Pomme fondant means something completely different to him.
Is a pomme fondant in America the same as a pomme fondant in Europe?
Yes.
Be a pomme fondant. Just taste that, you. If that's the pomme fondant, yeah, then I'm the pope.
I guess it's not even a pomme fondant.
Pomme fondant, my ass.
How many? Hey,
here's the crazy 21. Thing. Pomme fondant is potatoes.
Yeah, it's potatoes. Potatoes are pomme fondant. What about butter sauce, guys?
Tomato sauce, tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce. I never got my tomato butter sauce. I need tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce. Where's the sauce?
Who's got the sauce for tomato butter?
Tomato butter sauce.
Why is the sauce not ready?
Tomato
now.
Butter sauce, chef. I just finished it.
Can you mind getting some more tomato butter sauce going?
Butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce.
Butter sauce.
Tomato sauce. Much better.
How many was that, Steven?
16.
Wow. So the winner is pomme fondant.
Yep. Nice. The only one that matters, though, is butter sauce.
Yeah, the sausage.
Oh, that one, too.
Butter sauce. All right, so let's talk about Defiance, Bill.
Okay.
Did we talk about the bug episode where they go underground, there's all the bugs and stuff?
I don't think we did. I think that was the week before last.
That was the hell bugs.
Or somebody was spraying the thingy-majiggers, the pheromones on targets.
Right, and I read, like, players of the game were excited about that one because apparently to level up, you kill a hellacious amount of hell bugs in the game.
I'm really going to have to get that game just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I'm very curious about it, too. And I like that. That was an Arisa episode. And then what do they have this week? A non-Arisa episode where it's... Yeah. What's
all
that?
About the mayor's sister.
Yeah, the mayor's sister.
Yes, the mayor's hot sister.
Yeah, what is that actress's name? Because she's always been hot.
And yeah, she's always played like very lesbianic type characters.
Well, okay, I love all the aliens and stuff in the show, but the Bioman is the most ridiculous design.
That is freaking hilarious.
The Bioman is hilarious. He's got a number across and
yeah, and I just love how they even gave him like the meek voice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to do that.
Yeah,
he's a big dumb Hulk.
He's basically it's like a twist of Mice and Men. He's Lenny.
Mm-hmm. He's a gentle giant, isn't he?
Yeah,
he wants to play with the rabbits, George.
It was creepy how he had a trailer full of people, and I guess they get junkies
adrenaline.
And still their adrenaline or whatever.
Yeah, they shoot Nuke.
Did you think of I Come in Peace when they talked about that, Bill?
I didn't. All I could think of was RoboCop 2, them shooting that stuff into their neck. I was like, it's like Nuke!
Because you remember in I Come in Peace, he creates this drug using human endorphins.
Oh, yes!
First he shoots them up full of heroin, and then takes their endorphins and sells it in his galaxy.
You're
or
right.
Whatever.
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
I was like, I Come in Peace.
Because none of them had white hair and blue eyes and shot CDs.
Well, apparently, the beginning of the episode... there's some kind of gun deal going on. Daytac has arranged this because their net shield has been down since the pilot episode, so now need guns to protect themselves.
Guns, guns, guns!
But the main character, Nolan, he takes all the guns away. So here's what I wonder. They got all pissed about it. Couldn't the mayor have just said, okay, give us the guns back? Or
yeah, that's the thing that confused me, is it just seemed like we missed something at the opening of the episode, that he was all up in Daytac's shit already.
Right.
Like, it just seemed like we missed something.
Are they doing kind of like Firefly, where they filmed it out of...
I'm thinking that's exactly what it is.
Oh, man, do you think they are doing the wrong...
Because it seemed like something changed.
Well, he did...
Like, all of a sudden, he's up in his shit over, like, gun runners. It just seemed...
Well, I do know that he knows that Daytac cut that guy's throat. He just has no way of proving it. So he did say that his informant said there would be a gun shipment. I don't know who this guy is. It's the screenwriters are like, yeah, well, that'll work. But I'm wondering if that's it, you know. But
okay, maybe it's entirely possible. I mean, the show isn't exactly the most cohesive creation. Mm-hmm.
They're working the kinks out.
there's an iron there. They're trying to fix it,
and
I'm still having fun.
And next week they're going to have an Arisa-centric episode, which that's the draw for me.
Yeah.
And
Little Wolf,
basically, also this Little Wolf. Daytac is already pissed at Nolan. Well, now they know his bioman kidnapped the sister, so they're going to go have a talk with him. But
his berserker.
Did you guys, what is the word for shit on the show? Do you guys know what it is?
I can't remember.
Okay. No. Graham Greene says it here, so remember this.
Take this to a vote.
Yes.
No, second. Wait, I need to see them, but you cannot wait.
Oh, Stockholm.
What do you want, Shaq?
Ladies and gentlemen of the town council.
Better than
Madam
Frank.
Mayor,
we're in the middle of a meeting.
The arms deal with the Votanus Collective is off.
What is it, some kind of shakedown?
You made assurances to this council.
My assurances assumed a base level of discretion. The Votanus Collective is a global power. They can't be seen selling arms to an unaffiliated town.
Hold on. Who's selling arms?
Your new lawkeeper intercepted a delivery of Votec rifles, intending to send me a message over the unfortunate death of that poor fellow, Ila Bandic. You know. And now his rash behavior has spooked my suppliers in the collective. The town will receive no further shipments, and your sizable deposit is forthless.
Son of a bitch. Rafe. Tell me that we have not been making deals with gun smugglers.
With the stasis nets destroyed, the town's a sitting duck for spirit riders, raiders, and anything else that wanders through the Bissell Pass. Council made a deal with Detect to quietly bring in heavy ordnance for insurance.
You didn't think to inform me.
The operation was need to know, quite frankly, you didn't.
I'm the mayor.
And the next election's just around the corner. If you want to keep that chair you inherited, I suggest you have a word or two with our friend Nolan. Make sure he's rowing in the same direction as everybody else.
I don't get your allegory.
What?
Chill, Chaksa.
I didn't
know
that.
Coley was right. This lawkeeper is completely beyond your control. I assume the she you're seeking is the lovely Kenya Rosewater.
So you know.
Oh, you two have been bumbling around the hollows all night asking after her. I was informed hours ago.
A witness said a bioman took her.
Ulysses. And that's why you've come to me. Guilt by association. I assure you, if Ulysses misbehaved, it was without my knowledge.
He's full of it. This is payback.
That's not really my style, is it? Now, if you found Kenya with her throat cut on somebody's doorstep, did I say something
wrong? I dated a bioman for a year once.
I choose to make a statement. I rarely leave it unsigned. It's hubris, pure and simple. A personal flaw, but my wife seems to like it.
All right, come on, let's cut the crap. Everyone knows Ulysses is your man. It could threaten everything you've done to elevate your status in this community.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear my recent efforts are appreciated.
For both our sakes, please help me find my sister.
When you people look at me, you see a wild dog,
a really pale,
a fierce, unpredictable beast. Occasionally useful when you need to smuggle illegal weapons or find a missing person, but best kept in a short chain. He's known to bite. If you truly saw me as a citizen, you wouldn't have brought this blunt instrument to yank me from my sleep and lay hands on me in front of my family.
Well, all of a sudden he's James Bond.
You think you're better than me. You lack respect. And that
is how I enunciate.
Is why I will not help you find your sister.
Aww.
I am the only stage actor on this show.
And then, you know, his wife talks to her and basically, give him a seat on the council, and then he'll help. And then at the end, you know, Nolan goes, I'm going to keep my eye on you, to his wife, like, you're the one I should watch out for.
He goes, aren't you sweet?
She said, oh, that's very sweet of you, but yeah, you figured it out. Did you notice in the bat scene, she was like practically completely naked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa, she's naked.
Well, that's that Jamie Murray. She's not happy unless she's naked on a show.
Do you mind getting naked? No.
Not at all. Thank you.
Where'd your clothes go? They're gone. All right. This show,
and I was unclothed.
I know the whole thing of the show is the dynamic between Nolan and Daytac, but they've got a lot of other crap going on in the middle, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do.
I'm hoping that they, you know, work the kinks out. I'm watching it based on it's a sci-fi show, not S-Y-F-Y. It's a science fiction show is what I'm saying. It's got aliens and stuff, and it's got enough character where I'm enjoying it, Bill.
That was a very loud burp. I'm sorry.
Yeah, excuse you, sir.
Yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Stephen, stop yelling.
You did yell because I heard you yell, and it was like this.
Oh, my God. good time. But
what was with the whole the I had to bring this up because it made me laugh so hard while I was watching the episode was something happens for the mayor where somebody confronts her about her sister being a prostitute, like,
oh yeah,
and then she goes, well, I hope your mother's proud of you, and then there's an instant flashback of,
yeah,
our mother is dead.
Yeah, cue their backstory.
Yeah, cue the backstory. And it was so blunt. It just made me bust out laughing.
But then the reveal at the end is her mom isn't dead. Her mom abandoned them.
Yeah, her mom cut down. She's just like, oh, we're going to get attacked. I'm out of here. Bye.
Yeah, she was like, come on. Your sister will be fine. She was like, what? Come on, let's just go. She'll be fine.
Don't worry about her.
No, I don't think so. It's like, man, your mom.
She'll be raised by biomen.
Yeah. Yeah, those biomen, they're great.
Oh, stucko.
It's not like she'll turn out to be a prostitute someday or
anything.
No!
No! She did a much better job than your mom who abandoned you did.
Oh, dear. Now let's talk briefly about Hannibal, Bill. Did you watch the episode from this week?
I did.
I got to say it was probably my favorite episode just on how they handled Hannibal. Have you ever seen anyone have more joy preparing a meal in your life?
Yeah, and they're good at those organs, man. They just, a lot of it just looks so real. Like, I'm sure it's like, I don't know, maybe it is, maybe they're using actual cadaver organs. It's just gross.
Ooh. He really is an artist, isn't he?
He is an artiste.
I love that he needs more, every time he needs more things for his little dinner party, you see him get out of his Filofax another person.
That was super creepy. And I was like, why does he need so many people? And then to have all of them going, what is going on? He's harvesting these organs. Is he shipping them overseas? No, he's just preparing for a very large dinner.
Yes. I did like they showed one flashback and it was like an insurance salesman or something.
Yeah.
And the guy,
I met you before?
He was kind of tacky to Hannibal. He was like, you better not be lying about anything on this questionnaire because we can figure that out. And you just see him kind of look at him. And Hannibal's whole thing is that he doesn't like rude people.
No.
So that Filofax is of rude people that he's just like, I'm going to eat you later. Let me just keep your business card here and I'll put it away. And
you look delicious.
Yeah. But the show is just photographed beautifully. I just can't get over how gorgeous the show is, you know?
Did you... is it just me or were they doing The Shining stuff this week?
The Shining.
The way the bathroom was laid out for the one guy in the hotel.
It's possible.
It looked exactly like the bathroom in The Shining. Like the green and the arches and everything.
You're probably right, because I know on the pilot episode, I know he modeled it after the bathroom in The Shining. The red bathroom in the pilot episode. And Brian Fuller, he's a big Kubrick guy.
Okay, because I was just wondering if anybody else picked up on that.
It's just a very stylish show, you know?
It is, it is. And I only recognized it because I just watched The Shining again the other night. So I was like, that looks really familiar.
And I'm really hoping it gets picked up for another season because I want it to go into the storyline of the Tooth Fairy and stuff.
Oh my gosh, that would be so awesome.
That would. Like,
I don't want Hannibal ever to be caught. Like,
yeah. That's the thing,
I'm enjoying it too much.
Yeah, me too. And I've got this little scene here. It's just where they're trying to track down a killer who they think is the Ripper guy, but it turns out to be a guy who harvests organs.
I also liked Eddie Izzard's little...
Oh, yeah. What did you think of that?
I thought that was fantastic.
That scene where the person was impaled with all these pipes and stuff or whatever it was. And the way Will Graham works is he becomes the killer in his head and he retraces how the killer killed him. And then you see him, he's got the nurse and he steps on her and then he grabs a thing and he stabs her and then he like pokes her eyes out with his thumbs. I was like, Jesus Christ, how are they getting away with
this? And even the scene with him becoming the well, not meant to be a killer in the bathroom with the guy harvesting his kidneys and like trying to keep him alive and all that stuff. It was just so reaching inside him to massage his heart.
Yeah,
it's amazing what they're getting away with.
I don't know how they do it.
Chilochaksa.
Yeah, that's why they do, Bill. Chilochaksa.
Bologna Muvatafa.
Yelane meore kilokipaksa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
I want the number 7 combination platter. Thank you.
All right, I have this clip of Hannibal. Let's check it out. And it begins with him at this opera, right, Bill? And his creepy patient is kind of stalking him.
Yeah, the guy from Fanboys.
That was a little strange. And then this old lady, she's like, when are you going to invite us over to one of your dinner parties? And let's see what...
Oh, that's the lady from Little Shop of Horrors. She was in Brian Fuller's other show, Pushing Daisy. She was one of the sisters.
Oh, nice. All right, let's check this out.
It's been too long since you properly cooked for us, Hannibal.
Come over and...
No, I know who you're talking about.
I just like the way you... Oh, nice. Let's play this.
I didn't mean to.
Have a good time. Thank you. Go.
All right, here we go.
It's been too long since you properly cooked for us, Hannibal.
Come over and I will cook for you.
No,
I said properly means dinner and the show. Have you seen him cook? It's an entire performance. He used to throw such exquisite dinner parties. You heard me. Used to.
And I will again, once inspiration strikes. Cannot force a feast. A feast must present itself.
It's a dinner party, not a unicorn.
Oh, but the feast is life. You put the life in your belly and you live. I have a butcher who carries sow's blood. Centrifugate. Separate the matter from the water. Creates a transparent liquid.
Sometimes I don't know what Hannibal's saying.
I've said that before. I have no idea.
Serve the tomatoes in suspension and everybody will love the sweet taste. You sure you can't stay?
I don't think I would be good company.
I disagree. But before you go, what became of Mr. Sylvester Stone?
You saved his life.
Been a long time since I used to scalpel on anything but a pencil.
Why'd you stop being a surgeon?
I killed someone. Or, more accurately, I couldn't save someone, but it felt like killing them.
An emergency room surgeon has to happen from time to time.
It happened one time to me.
What I like about Hannibal, he always has to...
I translate my passion for anatomy into the culinary arts. I fix minds instead of bodies, and no one's died as a result of my therapy.
I have to go. I have a date with the Chesapeake Ripper.
Oh, is that Ripper's?
Devin Silvestri was harvesting organs, but not with the Ripper. There's no connection between them.
Jack must be devastated.
I imagine he is. Enjoy the wine.
Thank you. Before we begin, you must all be warned. Nothing here is vegetarian. Bon appetit.
I love the camera pans over the whole table of food, and they're all clapping, and I'm just like, no, don't eat that.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that scene. I just want to see the scene where everyone realizes that they were eating human pieces.
Oh.
And there's a castanet band there.
No, it's cicadas, Bill! How would you like this? Hannibal, could you please cater my daughter's quinceañera? No!
Quinceañera?
Quinceañera? Oh man, that guy's not very smart, is he?
Kinsey?
Castaneda? Cicada?
Once again, extra spicy.
Chipotle?
Yeah. I mean, I want to know, like, say, okay, if a human body part is prepared the right way, you'll never be able to taste it, right? You have no way of knowing, am I right?
No.
Seriously, you're just screwed.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Huh? What's it called? Quintanita? Quintillera?
Quintillera?
Chipotle!
So we could have already, and we just wouldn't know. So yeah. It's better to be ignorance is bliss, right?
They probably it really is.
The food was fantastic.
It was yeah. That was delicious human heart. Thank you.
You just died, pal. I'm going to come get the body.
Okay.
And eat it.
All right, Bill, you want to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Woo-hoo! Let's do the news.
I mean, Bill.
Ah, yes.
Bill Aye.
Aye. Hey, Bill. What was that one M. Night Shyamalan movie with Bruce Willis? Do you guys remember what that was?
Unbreakable, homie.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, dude. Thanks, yo. All right, Bill. What do we have in the news this week?
Starting off with some sadness. Ray Harryhausen, master of stop-motion animation, has passed away.
Aw, man, I know.
You know, I know a lot of people were very down and posting all kinds of stuff on Twitter about it, and maybe I just wasn't part of that generation that really, truly appreciated it. Like, I loved, like, the whole skeleton fight in the Harry Hamlin movie. What the hell was that?
Flash of the Titans?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, of course, the Golden Voyage of Sinbad and all that stuff. But maybe I just didn't have that much of a connection, or maybe it was because he had lived such a long life that I wasn't really broken up about it.
Everything he did was special. It had the signature to it. When you saw that stop-motion animation, you knew it was him doing it. He put, like, this personality to it. And that's why, you know, Phil Tippett, who also does the stop-motion, he was inspired by Harryhausen or whatever. He puts personality into all the work he does, and it's a lost art too. They don't do that anymore.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And, maybe that's what it was. I just didn't have that appreciation for it. I feel like I should almost go back and
you should go back and watch the Sinbad movies. Whenever something came up, it was always awesome. I remember when I was a kid seeing all that stuff. Those effects, I loved it. There's just something about it. You can't look away. It's awesome.
I need to, because I just didn't. I was like, it's not that I didn't get it. I just didn't feel the appreciation I felt like I should have had, you know, whenever I heard that he had passed away.
The guy was just really good at what he's doing, you know?
Yay! I'm a freaking genius.
Wow. That didn't sound very...
That
polite.
Didn't sound like Harryhausen. He didn't sound very humble there, did he?
No, he didn't. this is genius.
I was just going to say, it's just sad when anyone really talented dies.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. It is. Because it's like you said, that art really has kind of died with him, but you almost have to think that he was the pioneer for the stop-motion animation that came... Even just recently with, like, Paranorman and Caroline and all those. Like, without Harryhausen, would that really have come as far as it has? All right, Jefferson City, Missouri. The genius management at the Goodrich Capital 8 Theater is defending what it calls a publicity stunt this past weekend. During the opening weekend of the latest Iron Man movie, a man walked into the theater in full tactical gear carrying a fake gun.
Oh, that's just hilarious.
That's high comedy.
Yeah.
Jefferson City police and witnesses, however, are not pleased with the stunt. They're questioning the theater's logic after recent shootings in Aurora and Newtown. John Moloch is a retired Army war veteran, suffers from PTSD.
Slimy immigrant jerk-off!
And told ABC 17 this most recent trip to the movies triggered memories he never wanted to relive. Way to go, assholes.
All I know, I'd be pissed if it pulled me out of the movie when I was paying attention to it.
Yeah. We just finished watching Iron Man 3. We're just getting into the car when I spotted a man in full assault gear carrying what appeared to be a modified M4 and 9mm on his side. He did not call police, but several other moviegoers did. Received a series of 911 calls stating, or 911 calls stating that man dressed in all black and body armor and rifle was walking into the Capitol 8 theaters. Officers thought they were responding to an active shooter investigation. Everything was in place. It was the opening night of a superhero movie. Somebody walking in all dark clothes, pointed. Everything pointed to bad things about to happen.
I am scared.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even wrap my mind around this.
Why would somebody do that?
The worst movie theater manager ever.
This is extraordinary.
Yeah, I just don't get it. Wow, dum-dums.
Wow.
I'm more embarrassed than you are, trust me.
All right, I don't know where Abbotsford is, but what a waste of tax money here. The Abbotsford Fire Rescue Service is being credited with defusing a situation between a young girl and a group of raccoons.
Out of control.
Yep, crews received a report of a girl trapped in a tree on Mill Lake Road when they arrived, they found the 12-year-old roughly 3 meters from the ground, sharing the tree with a family of raccoons. She felt trapped because every time she tried to get down from the tree, they would hiss and growl at her.
Yikes.
What the hell was she doing 3 meters in a tree?
Wow. Yeah. What, how did that happen?
Yeah, we're in America. It shouldn't be 3 meters.
Yeah, it should, what should it be? 9 feet? 10 feet? Yeah. The raccoons finally ran further up the tree when the ladder was placed against it. The firefighters were then able to help the girl down safely and uninjured.
Aw, that poor girl.
Idiots.
I know you're a coward.
Hey.
All right, out of the UK, it seems the halal lamb burger made by a company supplying the, what is it, Leicester City Schools contained
Colorado,
up to 50%
rack of lamb.
Whoops. The products were made by Doncaster-based Paragon Quality Foods Limited, which said it had never knowingly bought or handled pork, even though it was supposed to be halal meat.
Nice.
Whoops.
Hmm.
So now, after you eat a halal lamb burger that has 50% pork in it, what do you do? How do you handle that?
Do you
have to go to like a mosque and be like exorcised of the dirty pork?
The pork is pink.
I don't know.
Is it like I'm just wondering, like, what is the impure and like methods of this? How does this work?
Who is in charge?
Needless to say, Paragon Foods is going to be getting their asses sued off. I think that's how it's going to flush the impurities out. Mummy.
They're screwed.
This cannot be real.
I had to bring this story up because it was cracking me up on Movoto, which is a real estate blog. They listed the 10 most redneck cities in America. And two of them I've been to recently.
Blair has a blog.
So number 10 is Mesa, Arizona. Number 9 is Cleveland, Ohio. There's the Ohio. Yeah,
wow,
it's
nice.
Pretty rednecky. Yeah, it's bad. Number 8 is Sacramento, California. When you type in Sacramento into Google Images, the first photo that pops up is the General Lee. So that pretty much
Sacramento?
Classifies it as rednecky.
Really?
Number
Sacramento?
7. What?
Sacramento?
Yeah, Sacramento.
So what is their definition of it, though? Like,
well, let's
do they
see.
Explain what they mean by this?
Well, I think rednecks, you know, they don't The term, some people don't consider it negative. You know, Jeff Foxworthy loves it.
It doesn't mean you live in the South. It means you're
no. It just means you have a certain mentality about you.
Are you hillbilly-ish?
I think it. Their criteria is
hillbilly, rednecky,
percent of population that did not complete high school, number of gun and ammo stores per capita, taxidermists per capita.
I'm a redneck.
Cowboy boot stores per capita, country radio stations per capita, NASCAR racetracks close by, Walmarts per capita, and riding lawnmower tractor repair shops per capita.
Wow.
So that it was a pretty big list.
It's put together wrong, bro.
But the kickers is number 7 is Arlington, Texas. And here's the second kicker. Number
hillbilly,
6.
Rednecky.
Fort Worth, Texas. I love that it says, don't let the museum fool you. Fort Worth is simply painted with rednecks.
That is true, you know. There was always like the segment, even in high school, of the, they called them ropers, because the dudes wore ropers. Boots. They wear cowboy hats all the time. Yep.
Really? They just wore cowboy boots and hats and
yeah. You just a cowboy. And there was that group, and there was girls who would wear the Wrangler jeans.
Was it just in case you know a cattle broke free and they had to go out and rope it?
They actually have teams like that would go out and ride cow.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, there's people who own.
There's like a rodeo,
a rodeo
class?
Team, yeah.
In school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess they would in some areas, you know.
Holy crap. Whoa. Was there a rodeo clown school?
Probably somewhere.
There probably is.
Oh, someone get that bull! All right, number 5 was Tulsa, Oklahoma. Number 6, we're going forward. Number 4, Nashville, Tennessee. Number 3, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
You're squirting your butt with a water hose.
Number 2, Kansas City, Missouri. And number 1, Atlanta, Georgia.
You know, I can put a check mark by every one of those towns. I've been to every one.
Really?
You're in a deep state of crap.
Wow.
Yeah, I was surprised that I was glad to see Cleveland is on the list, but I'm surprised there wasn't at least one more Ohio rednecky place because man, I feel like I am so out of place in the area I live. Just it's pure redneck.
There's basically
like, kind of the Akron Canton area as well.
I think oh my god! Well, Akron Canton is less redneck, more. Trash, white
it
trash.
Shows you that there's rednecks everywhere. I think.
Oh God, yes, there are.
If you don't want my help, I ain't gonna give it to you. Figure it out on your own.
But it's pretty much their list, like their per capita, you know, NASCAR. I mean, redneck to me is NASCAR, bow hunting. You know, just very very countryish stuff.
Yeah. I like that bow hunting.
Bow hunting.
Bow
hunting. Man, you can go bow hunting wherever it's getting tiny. Huh?
Yeah. I brought this up to you on...
I'm just a guy over here with a bow and arrow.
On chat. I thought it was hilarious that Entertainment Weekly did an interview with Vin Diesel. I almost said Bryn Diesel. Vin Diesel. And he said... here we have... his answer is... to be accurate about Fast, you got to look at it as 2 trilogies so far. 6 is the conclusion of the second trilogy. 6 was fleshed out while we were doing Fast 4. And my first approach to the studio to give you a perspective of how deep I was thinking about this trilogy, I went to the studio and said, let's do 4, 5, and 6 together. After we did 4, I said, let's do 5 and 6 together. After we did 5, I said, let's do 6 and 7 together. Now they're getting the momentum. We're starting to feel comfortable in finally recognizing this as a saga.
Well, you know, he left the franchise, like, after the first movie. He didn't want to do it anymore. He wasn't in the second one or the third one.
What? Now he's like franchise master.
Yeah, well, at the end of the third one, the Tokyo Drift one, doesn't he show up at the end credits or something?
Yeah, he does.
So he's like, hey, I'm going to be in the next movie. I've missed some paychecks here.
Well, now he's already talking about going into the next trilogy.
Holy, so there's, it's like Star Wars. There's going to be 9 movies?
Yeah, there's going to be a 7, 8, 9, so it's a trilogy of trilogies.
Oh, man, that sounds good to me. I don't know about you guys.
Man, as long as they drag vaults through the streets, I'm good.
Sounds good to me, man.
Massive vaults.
Trilogy of trilogies.
I wasn't trying to trick you.
It's a trilogy of trilogies, right?
Now, here's something that this was on FARC, and it blew my mind in a way. The all-time top 100 stars at the box office. This is like the highest box office earning. Number one is... some people probably wouldn't know the name, but it made me giggle. Frank Welker is number one.
Frank Welker. He's the voice of Optimus Prime?
Yeah, no, he was the voice of Megatron.
Megatron, damn.
Got yeah, but he did, like, he did, I think, Soundwave and a couple other ones in the movies.
Cobra Commander in the new G.I. Joe, right?
Yeah, but he's done voices since, Jesus, like 80? Let me see. Oh, no, it goes all the way back down, back to 69 that he's done voices. Like, he did all the voices in, like, the GoBots and, I mean, but he's earned, the amount of movies he's been in has earned, now let me see if I get this right. I'm looking at the zeros here. Looks like 6 trillion.
Huh?
Yeah. What? Because it's 6,452,627,268. So is that trillion? 6,452,000 No, 6 billion.
Oh,
452 million. So yeah. So over $6 billion.
Nice.
Way to go, Frank Welker.
So he's earned a lot of money.
Earned hardly anything, but the movies he's been in
have
earned a ton.
Yeah.
George.
I wanted to ask you about this, Bill, because, Baby's a beagle.
Yes.
Sometimes there's squirrels everywhere, right? Sometimes they run across the back fence.
Yeah.
And when Baby sees a squirrel, she goes nuts.
Yes.
She starts doing this manic sniffing all over the yard. And she goes, woof, 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 as she's sniffing around. And she's doing it right now because she saw a squirrel. She makes this weird sound. And she just, I was going to feed her this morning. Like, I gave her a big old bowl of food.
She always goes
right to it. But she saw a squirrel, so she ran outside, and she didn't come in for a long time because she was busy sniffing everything.
She's alerting you to where it's at so you can shoot
it. She's a hunting dog.
So is that sound she's making? Is she telling us?
It's an alert.
Yes, it is.
Aw. Now, what would she do if she caught a squirrel?
She would kill it and probably eat it.
I could honestly eat it for every meal.
Yeah, she probably could. She'd very much enjoy it.
Love squirrel, Bill.
The best news ever to come out of CBS is they have rejected the Beverly Hills Cop pilot.
Aw, boo. Yes. Yeah, that seemed like a bad idea from the beginning.
Well, the fact that Sean Ryan was involved with it was kind of surprising.
Yeah, maybe with him handling it, it might be interesting, but maybe not.
I don't know, man.
I still keep saying they need to do the movie Cuffs into a TV show. Come on.
They could. Why not? Yeah, why not? Just do it.
Yeah.
It would work.
They could do it.
They could.
Or maybe they won't.
Well, they never will, but they could.
They won't do it.
No.
Bastards. Never.
And it would be great if Christian Slater would just appear in the pilot as the brother, the older brother.
No, man, he'd be the star of the show.
Well, isn't he a little old for that?
Greetings and salutations.
No way. What is old to you? Because I'm 41, dude.
Well, I mean, isn't he supposed to be a teenager rookie? Where his older brother's killed? So
it's years later. He's still.
Would his older brother be 60?
Bruce Boxleitner's still alive, but he died in the movie, though, so.
Oh, yeah.
Seem to have an open door policy for assholes.
I'm not sure what that means, Christian.
All right, and finally in the news, Palm Beach. Just days after a senior prank turned into what police say was probable cause for an arrest, a Tequesta man and his mother are questioning how wearing pantyhose on the man's head and spraying silly string at a football game is a criminal act.
I'll be arrested!
It was just a funny prank, Jennifer Melvin told the Palm Beach Post on Thursday. It was silly string. They bought it at Walmart.
In the name of the Galactic Senate of the Republic, you're under arrest, Chancellor.
Okay.
Melvin's son, Joshua Melvin, was arrested Tuesday evening on a charge of aggravated battery causing bodily harm or disability, because you know how dangerous that silly string is.
Oh, yeah, that could put an eye out, or could it?
Could.
A little sting from the alcohol release in it.
Yeah, or maybe he set it on fire.
Oh, the aerosol in it burned or something.
Melvin and three of his friends who were seniors at Jupiter High School came up with the prank the day of the school's Powder Puff game. Football game where boys are the cheerleaders and girls are the players. Melvin's friends asked him if he wanted to join in, though he already graduated from the school. They then bought four cans of silly string and pantyhose, which they planned on wearing to cover their faces. That night after halftime, while the teams were in huddles, the four men hopped the fence surrounding the football field, ran onto it while spraying blue, green, pink, and purple-colored silly string. They also spray-painted their arms and legs in green and yellow, which was as close as they could get to the school's colors of green and gold.
Does that sound flammable by any chance?
What, the silly string?
Yes, yeah.
Absolutely, I think it is, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there was a thing on where they were spraying it too close to the birthday cake with the candles lit, and it caught somebody on fire.
Oh, yeah.
A witness said a bioman took her.
Shit, it was a bioman?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
You lack respect.
That's okay, Lenny. All right, and that's news for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week.
You're welcome.
What do you say we do some DVDs?
We should, because Steven's already clearing his throat for it.
All right, let's do the DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs!
HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Woo!
Yo no ni mejor que lo que pasa.
Now, that's what I said. The DVDs, everybody! All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right. DVDs for May 14th, 2013. We're starting off with the Blu-ray for Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas. I've been wanting to watch this.
Yes, it's an interesting movie.
Huge cloud of shit. Wow.
It's a cloud of Atlas.
I think I smell it. Come on, let's go.
Look, Atlases. My dad swears, he goes, just read the book before you watch the movie. Otherwise, you just are not going to understand the movie.
Well, it's a... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in a way, yes. In a way, no. If you just kind of let the movie wash over you and appreciate it for what it is, I think it might be more beneficial than reading the book first.
Did you enjoy the film?
I did, and I hadn't read the book first.
Oh, okay.
I read the book after I saw the film, and it made me appreciate the film more and what the film was able to do more, but it didn't deteriorate, you know... My appreciation for the film.
You were debating on whether to read it or not, right?
I wouldn't read it first. I would just watch the film and just experience it. I mean, it's a spectacle.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. It's a good stuff.
Are there
and it doesn't. I didn't catch an agenda or anything like that in it.
There's no agenda?
No, there's no... There's a vagenda. But, sorry.
What?
Sorry, a little Fringe reference there.
Ah.
Remember her vagenda?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I do, because...
He fell right into her vagenda.
Vagenda?
Come on, this is, we've got an extensive backlog of drops on this show.
One of my favorite moments ever.
In fact, you know what, you know how, like, you have a folder, and it tells you how many items are in the folder? Do you know what it says for the drop folder?
134.
Read this, Steven, what this
guess,
says.
Before I read it, 2,200.
Come and look what it says, Steven.
Holy cow. 8,807.
For Fringe?
No, drops.
Drops.
Oh,
period.
Jesus.
Show drops.
8,807 drops.
Oh, I was going to say, is that just for the Fringe folder?
That I don't know, but...
It's like, is that every episode?
Dude, that's a lot of drops, ain't
it? That is a lot of drops.
And they add every week, too. Wow.
Why?
Why? There's no...
Webster, leave me alone. I know you're hungry. I'm almost done.
I shaved the dog and glued the hair to my nutsack so I look
oh
like a
god.
Man.
Bill, who did that? What?
I'm sitting here trying to do the DVDs and Webster is pawing at my leg like, dude, you haven't fed me yet. I'm hungry. Right? Oh. Just calm down. It's okay. I'll feed
any
you
kind
something.
Of secrets?
No, don't. Get down. Get down. Okay. Next in the DVDs is Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Nice. Was that filmed in 3D, Bill?
I think it might have been.
Oh, my God.
It's really loud.
I see right, how you operate now.
Then we have, changing pace here, 310 to Yuma, the Criterion Collection. Not the remake, but the original.
The original.
With Glenn Ford, 1957.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, I guess they didn't feel they needed to do the remake on the Criterion.
Yeah.
All right, moving on, we have Crime Wave on Blu-ray.
Whoa, 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 whoa. The Sam Raimi movie?
Yeah.
Holy moly, I can't believe it. On Blu-ray?
On Blu-ray from Shout Factory.
Do you know how... Oh my god, this movie is like impossible to find anywhere.
And now it's on Blu-ray.
By miracle, I found it on VHS at a Blockbuster once.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even one that was near me. And I went home and watched it. And, okay, the movie is not that great. It's very like, the first like 15 minutes of the movie are awful. But then you get into the movie, the Sam Raimi camera work and everything from his other films is all in there, and there are some awesome set pieces in the film. It's got so many cool like camera shots and stuff, kinetic camera flying through the air things. It's awesome, but the movie's just not that great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you want to watch this movie, Crime Wave, watch it for the Sam Raimi directing.
Yeah, it's got a commentary with Bruce Campbell.
There are some unbelievable shots in the movie.
I wish that it was a Sam Raimi Bruce Campbell, and maybe they could dig up Brian James to just be there in spirit.
Yeah, Brian James has a funny part in the movie, and you know, there's some really nerdy guy who's the star of the movie. Sam Raimi wanted Bruce Campbell to be the star, and they're like, no, 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 he's no good. And they got this guy.
He's too handsome.
And he's not handsome at all. He's just a big dork.
Yeah.
He's like this nerd, and you could tell by watching the movie that I'm not sure how much Sam was really into it, but I'm telling you, there's some set pieces in the movie that are like, how did he do this? I remember watching War of the Roses. Remember when the plate flying sequences where they're throwing plates at each other?
Right. Yes.
And you think, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. He probably has some kind of plate spinning under the camera. Well, I thought that was cool back then. But if you watch the plate flying, there's plate flying sequence in this Yeah. Totally, like, I have no idea how Sam Raimi did it. It's awesome. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I'm burping up a storm. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's quite all right, Bill.
All right, now.
Bill!
This week brings Webster goddammit, dog.
Wait, what kind of dog is Webster?
A mechanical dog.
That's a robot.
Yeah, he is a robot. He's K-9 from Doctor Who.
That's awesome.
Yep. All right, so this week... Ow! You little fucker! Oh, wow, he is just really pissed off that he hasn't eaten yet, and it's 8 o'clock.
Poor little guy, he's starving.
This week brings the first of the Mastered in 4K Blu-rays from Sony with Spider-Man.
Wow, wait. It's in 4K? How do we watch it?
No, it's mastered in 4K. It's like their version of Superbit for Blu-ray.
Oh, remember when they did Superbit DVDs?
Yeah. Yep.
So basically it's just a...
It's a higher than normal...
high def.
Yeah.
This is
a higher than normal bit rate.
This is for AV nerds.
Yeah, and you know what? I would love to see a comparison because I honestly don't think there's going to be that much of a difference.
Right.
DVD duplication pirating empire. It's not a game.
Oh my god. I forgot that's how complicated that was.
Relax, dude.
Yeah, that guy needs to chill.
Next Blu-ray is the film A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III. This was the Roman Coppola movie that he did with Charlie Sheen and Bill Murray. It's like all like it's set in this crazy stylized L.A. and it's like Roman Coppola's version of a Wes Anderson film.
Oh, okay. Yes. It's vaguely it's like right there and it's blurry. I see it. Barely see it. It's called... What is it called? It's,
What's it called? Quintanita? Quintillera? Yes.
A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Quintanita. It's about a small Mexican boy who doesn't like spicy food. And next we have the second mastered in 4K release, Ghostbusters. I would love to see Ghostbusters in 4K, but this isn't 4K. This is Blu-ray.
Okay,
so stop trying to bullshit me.
But it's shot in film and it's grainy. Is it bringing out more grain? I don't understand.
Ghostbusters was never that good looking of a film.
Well, I mean, I don't understand. Is 4K just the latest gimmick?
Exactly. Well, I think studios are trying to make it that. Like, they don't quite understand anything, quite frankly. I don't even know how to explain it. Now, if you really want to get just confused to all hell as to what they're doing, the next four mastered in 4K films that they're releasing is just going to twist your head into knots. You're not even going to understand it. Angels and Demons... Which was the Da Vinci Code sequel.
The Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah, the Tom Hanks movie.
Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks.
Did I say Tom Hanks?
Yes, you did.
I wouldn't say that.
Replay.
The Tom Hanks movie?
Yes. The Tom Hankles movie. The Karate Kid.
Is this the Will Smith's son, Karate Kid?
Yes.
That's the guy Raj from Hell's Kitchen. I miss that guy. They need to bring him back.
He was the guy that had to leave because he thought he was having a heart attack, right?
He collapses. He was sweaty and breathing all like, and who's that breathing? You know, Gordon's like, "Wow,
why are you sweating all over
he's breathing?"
All right, now the next. I can kind of understand this next mastered in 4K Blu-ray.
Okay.
The other guys.
Wait a second. That's the Will Ferrell, Wahlberg, Mark Wahlberg
yeah.
movie?
Yeah.
Why is that in 4K?
I don't know.
Hope the kids would like it.
And finally, the last mastered in 4K Blu-ray, the best of the bunch, Battle Los Angeles.
That more so than the other guys.
No, I'm totally facetious on this. This is bullshit. Why would they ever waste their money? Well, you're going to master the other guys' Battle Los Angeles, Karate Kid, and Angels and Demons in 4K? Are you kidding me?
It's like it's just an experiment. They're like, slap it on some titles, see how it does. It
but no one's
like,
going to buy those.
I know. No, there's people on AVS
and
bill
they're
going to buy
overpriced.
Can you see?
No, they're retail. They're $16.
Oh,
they're going to buy it. Those dorks at AVS will.
Well, good, more power to them for buying shitty movies.
Yeah, it's just like.
Why are they not
releasing Guns of Navarone, Bridge on the River Kwai, Lawrence of Arabia in mastered in 4K editions? What is this shit? Release your big money ones.
Okay.
Films that were actually good that were mastered in 4K by like Park Circus. I just don't get it.
Maybe it's good though, because if it was like a movie we'd wanna see or own, then we'd probably go buy it. Like, say this, if it's a favorite, if it said Road Warrior, and I don't own Road Warrior on Blu-ray, I own it on HD DVD, I might go buy it and check it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But would I see the difference not owning a 4K set?
No. Well, you know what? You would. I think you would, because
it's just a better mastering job, or
yeah, it's more depth. The more color, more, you know, it brings more to the forefront of, you know, the films. But, I mean, when you have films that, like Lawrence of Arabia, African Queen, On the Waterfront, Bridge on the River Kwai, films that have actually been mastered in 4K from,
right,
you know, like original negatives, why are you not releasing those?
That's a good question. That's a damn good question.
It blows my mind that they would waste their time on releasing garbage.
I see how you operate now.
Me too.
But, you know, that other guys, that really needs a 4K conversion.
Like, you know, I saw Guns of Navarone in 4K at the Wexner Center for the Arts in Columbus. And it was stunning. Like, it actually looked like film. I think that's what blew my mind about it. Like, normally with, like, digital remastering, they kind of strip the grain and do too much digital noise reduction, and then you always have the those halos from like edge enhancement or the blacks.
Mud.
The blacks get crushed, but it looks stunning. Like it looked like I was watching like a 70mm film.
Cinema verite.
Until you can actually see 4K, I'm dying to see the 4K remaster of Outlaw Josie Wales that Park Circus did.
Are you serious? That would be awesome.
Yeah, they did. They did Outlaw Josie Wales. What else did they do? Hell, they did The Great Escape. Like Park, just look up Park Circus, and then under films, you can look under their 4K, because they are the best when it comes to.
See, I'd be disappointed if I went in and going, I can't tell if this is really good or not, or if it just looks as good as it always does. You know what I mean?
No, you can tell with 4K. You honestly can. Granted, it's not 70mm film. It's not. It does, you know, 70mm is 70mm. It is obvious. But 4K is the closest you're going to get to it digitally right now. And
have
it's
a good time.
Stunning.
Sweet. I'd check it out.
Like, I saw their, they did Dow M for Murder in 3D. And that was amazing. Like, that's the only post-convert I can actually say that was stunning.
That old movie?
The Hitchcock film.
It wasn't. I know. Was it originally in 3D when it came to theaters back then?
Yeah, it was. It was originally shot in 3D.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was. But it was like it's remastered in that digital way, the stereoscopic way. So yeah, it was stunning.
Wow.
But yeah, I can't recommend like what Park Circus does with their the remasters enough.
Oh, bitchin', is this in 3D?
No, but your face is.
Love it.
All right, and that's DVDs for this week.
That's it?
Yep, that's it. That's all.
Well,
very
thank you,
very
Bill.
Short week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
Oh, that's neat. It's going to be 3D.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
I have a whole book of cooter shots under my bed.
Thank you. Good night.
Too much information.
You're all week. Try the deal. And
nothing here is vegetarian. Bon appetit.
Oh, Hannibal, you...
Oh, Hannibal, you're so vivacious and so hilarious.
Well, everyone, that was episode 273 of Entertainment Landfill. Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it, and we love you guys for taking the time to listen to the show. We hope you dig it. And we'd like you to go to etlandfill.com. You can find a link to all of our shows. You can find a link to our Entertainment Landfill fan club. You can find our email to send us an email. And you can even send us a voicemail at 1206-339-1239. We love voicemail. You can even send us an MP3 or MP4 file on your... well, you know, people have the smartphones now, Steven.
Or just actual feedback.
Yeah, any kind of feedback. Send it to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Post it on our fan club. We love it. We eat that stuff up, man. We really like the feedback, don't we, Bill?
Seriously. When we get it, yes.
It's almost like I get angry when we don't get it. It's just like, I need feedback. Yeah, that
what did
kind
I
of
notice
feedback.
About our feedback or our voicemail today?
What did you notice about it?
Yes.
That everyone had an accent who left a voicemail and they don't live in this country.
Correct.
How cool is that, Bill?
That's awesome.
And
Australia,
like to...
Birmingham,
and if you
in Ireland.
You live in America, it's still okay. You can leave a voicemail.
No, I just thought it was cool that
no, it is cool.
That all three were all different accents as well.
Oh, wow.
It is
that's,
cool.
That's amazing.
It is cool, Trace. But if you guys would like to, just tell us you like the show. Also, check out Stitcher, because Adam thinks that that's the next big thing, and we're going to be huge celebrities after being on
Stitcher. Well, Adam knows.
I guess I need to use Stitcher, because I don't understand what the deal is about it. But they even say on the website, we can help you get noticed.
It's Stitchtastic.
Yeah, it is. Hell yeah, you said it, Bill. That's,
I did say it.
Yeah,
and
you
I'll
did.
And I'll say it again.
Mayor of Stresstown.
Yeah, the mayor of Stresstown. But I just want to leave you guys with this parting message. Did you guys get that?
Monsieur Havanavicius.
Oh, Stocko.
Stocko? I like Chilo Choksa better.
Chilo Choksa.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I got nothing. But Bill, Steven, thank you guys for doing a Saturday show. Couldn't
no
you do
problem.
It Friday. And I want to keep cranking these shows out. You know what's funny is the episode 160 through 169, that took like 8 months to get through those episodes. And I was hoping to get to 180, like, really fast, so we don't, like, do that again, you know? And I think it'd be really cool to get to 300, like, this year. I don't even know if that's possible, is
it? We can do it.
And I was thinking, like, will it be 9 years this August or 8 years?
Holy shit. The show? Either one's insane.
You'll have to go back and look.
If you go and look, go to etlandfall.com, click on links, click on the archive, and just scroll down and see all the episodes we've done, it's like the most insane thing when I look at that. Every single one of those was us sitting here at our computers, at our headsets, talking for hours, and just... that it goes forever. That's years of our lives we've been doing this show. And it actually does feel really cool that we have that archive of us just laughing our asses off. You know
we'll
what I mean?
Always be out there.
It is really awesome.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on The Price is Right.
We didn't need to know that, lady. I don't know why you told us that.
I have a whole box of Cougar shots.
And we have secrets.
Yeah, we gotta keep those...
That is the best part of that entire freaking movie.
This, oh man, this just cracks me up.
One time I put a firefly in my butthole.
I just love the way his dad goes. He goes,
why?
Why?
Why? To make my farts glow.
And then it's like, okay, that makes sense. I understand now.
I probably would have done the same thing.
Bill, hopefully you wouldn't.
Well, I remember we would catch firebugs or fireflies.
Maybe you should stop right here, Bill. Maybe we shouldn't know the rest of the story.
No, honestly, not there. We would catch them and then pinch them and rub their butts on our hands to make our hands glow.
Ah, but it didn't work.
It worked for a little while.
For a few seconds.
You know, it was worth the sacrifice.
The worst part,
fireflies.
The worst part is what you would say to the firefly afterwards.
That you just died, pal. I'm gonna come get the body.
Well, actually, I just threw the body on the ground.
You're like,
that's funny. It's like, look, my hands glowing. Oh, it's not glowing anymore.
That's it. No, what you're supposed to do is get those glowing necklaces and cut them open. It looks like predator blood.
Yes, it does. And then it like eats a hole in your hand.
Oh, is that stuff acidic?
Yeah, it's toxic.
It's toxic.
Oh my god!
I put it on the little glass tube inside. It wound up getting cut by the little pieces of glass inside there.
Holy shit! I had no idea. I'm glad I never did that.
Yeah, my dad had a ton of them because he was a paramedic, and we would always break into his kit. And take the glow sticks out. We get in so much trouble. So we just thought it was cool. We were having our own little personal raves. And he would go on the scene and need a glow stick and he wouldn't have any.
Sits on a turtle?
Sits on a turtle.
All right, guys. That's our show. We'll end on that note. See you guys next time. Whenever we do another show... Hey, next show we do, it's got to be after we see Star Trek, dude. I got to see Star Trek next Friday before all my friends. I'm going to see it for you guys.
I'll see it Thursday night.
Woohoo! That was my door
sound.
So
you're saying another Saturday show is what you're saying?
Possibly. Let's see how much we like it. If we don't like Star Trek, it's just like, we'll wait till next week.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Garlic bread is my favorite food.
Gotta
Can
love
eat
that.
It forever.
I love it's just like makes you fat. What? what?
Garlic bread was my
that
favorite
makes you
food.
Fat?
Surgery.
Oh, it's good stuff, man.
We would have spaghetti and meatballs, and I'd just eat the garlic bread.
You know what's ciabatta garlic bread is really.
Oh my god, dude! Shut your freaking mouth. that's what I would do. God. I would make ciabatta garlic bread, and I would just demolish it.
Oh, yeah.
Shut the front door.
Man. Okay, that's a little much. Time to go, guys. See you later, everybody.
Yeah, better than my box of Cougar
shots. I'm not playing with y'all anymore.
Stockholm.
Now this is podcasting.
One time I put a firefly in my butthole.
Nice.
To make my farts glow.
This is extraordinary.
Why are you guys all laughing?
This cannot be real.
Chill, Chucksa.
You don't gotta bark. Chill.
You just died, pal. I'm gonna come get the body.
Calm down.
I know you're a coward.
Oh, wow.
You lack respect.
I'm more embarrassed than you are, trust me.
Damn.
Leave me alone, guys. Get out.
Hey, man.
It ended on a cliffhanger.